జయం విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తివేదాంత గోస్వామి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి జయం త్రిలా ప్రవిష్ట విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్త సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహారాజ్ శీల ప్రభుపాదకి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపగోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి వృందావనధామికి మాయపురధామికి మధురపురిధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురిధామికి ద్వారకాపురిధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరాంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమో విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేషూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరదశ్చాస్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయాం తేజో వారిమృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా ధామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత గైదవోత్ర వరమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వాబరైశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యతేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుదం పిపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుగా సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమాం యం ప్రవ్రజందం అనుపేదమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైబాహ్యనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావ పుత్రేది తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మై స్వానుభావమఖిల శృతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపం అతిథితీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుం ఉపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణూకునిదాదృదానందోః మమ వాజి విజృంభదాం మురారేర్ మధురిం న కణికాపి కాపి కావి నమా ఓం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూదలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ ఇది నామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవీం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజ స్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం హృది భావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారక వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ భాసదాం పురతో మమ. మూకం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. శ్రీ భగవానువాచ. చాప్టర్ 19. యో విద్యాశ్రుతసంపన్నమాల్పవాన్ననుమానికా మాయామాత్రమిదం జ్ఞాత్వా జ్ఞానం చామయ సన్యసే. జ్ఞానినస్తుహమేవాష్టా స్వార్థో హేతుశ్చ సమ్మదాః స్వర్గశ్చ అపవర్గశ్చ నాన్యోర్థో మద్దదే ప్రియాః. జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన సంసిద్ధాం పదం శ్రేష్టం విదుర్మమ జ్ఞానీ ప్రియతమోతో మే జ్ఞానేనాసౌ భివర్తి మాం. తపస్తీర్థం జపోదానం పవిత్రానితరాణి చ నాలం కుర్వంతి తాం సిద్ధి యా జ్ఞానకలయా కృతాం. తస్మాత్ జ్ఞానేన సహితం జ్ఞాత్వా స్వాల్పానముద్ధవా జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞాన సంపన్నో భజ మాం భక్తిభావదాహం. జ్ఞాన విజ్ఞానయజ్ఞేన మామిష్ట్వాల్పానమాల్మని సర్వయజ్ఞపదిం మాం వై సంసిద్ధిం మునయోగమన్. త్వయుద్ధవాశ్రయస్త్రివిధో వికారో మాయాంతరాపదినాత్ అపవర్గయోర్యత్ జన్మాదయోస్యదమీ తవ తస్య కిం స్యు ఆద్యంతయోర్యదసదోస్తి తదేవ మధ్యే. ఉద్ధవ ఉవాచ జ్ఞానం విశుద్ధం విపులం యథైదం వైరాగ్య విజ్ఞానయుతం పురాణం ఆఖ్యాహి విశ్వేశ్వర విశ్వమూర్తే త్వల్భక్తియోగం చ మహద్భృమిజ్ఞం. తాపత్రయేణాభిహతస్య ఘోరే సంతప్యమానస్య భవాధ్వనీశ పశ్యామి నాన్యచరణం తవాంగ ద్వంద్వాదపత్రాద్ అమృతాభివర్షాన్. దష్టం జనం సంపతితం విలేస్మిన్ కాలాహినా క్షుద్రసుఖోరుతర్షం సముద్ధరైనం కృపయాపవర్గే వజోభిరాసించ మహానుభావాం. సో దట్స్ 10 వర్సెస్ ఇన్ ది 19th చాప్టర్ విచ్ వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ డిస్కసింగ్ సో మెనీ డేస్. సో లాస్ట్ సండే కృష్ణ టాకింగ్ టు ఉద్ధవ మెన్షన్స్ దేర్ దట్ that the material world is created imperfect. That's what we were talking about, isn't it? So Krishna mentions there that the anityam asukham lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. Krishna says the, because the material world is imperfect, it is not possible that even the karmam what we perform in this world will never become perfect. That's not possible. That's the point Krishna was making there. Then, if our karmam is not perfect, we should not have to be concerned about it very much, because Krishna's creation in this material world is imperfect. And that is an important point. So, Brahmam, Atma, Krishna is saying, that's the only thing that is perfect in this creation. The only thing that is perfect in the creation is Brahmam or the Atma. So, if you inquire the creation, it can never be perfect. Creation is never perfect. only the soul, the screen behind everything which is operating this creation is perfect. This we have to be very clear, because this is an important aspect of Vedantam. Vedantam is very strange, very, very firm about this, because otherwise we will be driven by the world. We'll be driven by the world. World is never perfect. Krishna says that the soul is the only thing that is perfect. The Brahman is perfect. World is created imperfect. It's created imperfect. So here, if you inquire for perfection, you will be stuck here. You'll be stuck in this imperfection. So this is particularly, it's a spiritual secret actually, and it is mentioned even in the Shruti Gita, where personified Vedas glorifying Krishna, even there it is mentioned this, that not to expect any perfection in the creation, and confirming that creation is an imperfect thing. Everything is Brahman. If you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, in the glorified prayers of the personification of the Vedas, if you read that verses, it's particularly very sensible to understand that why one should not look for perfection in this world. There, Vedas, these prayers in the Bhagavatam, particularly the chapter 87, where it says that it is the 87th chapter in the 10th canto, verse 36. Sada idam uttidam sadirijen anudarkahatam vibhicharadi kvacha kvacha krisha mrishanadatho bhayayug vivakhradaye vikalpamishidontha andhabarambaraya brahmayadi bharadita uruvuttibi ulkada jathan. Sada idam uttidam sadirijen anudarkahatam. This creation, you may have heard this argument before. This creation, Krishna is saying, is imperfect. Vedas are also saying it's imperfect. But the source of this creation is perfect. That is Sat. Creation is Asat. Creation is Asat. Although this has come from Sat, the result is Asat. Result is Asat. So sometimes, even though the cause may be Sat, the result will be Asat. That is what they say. That so here, the cause of this creation is not purely Paramatma or Atma. Paramatma, in conjunction with Maya, it has been created, and therefore it is Asat. Therefore it is Asat. So because it is like that, we, for vyavaharam purposes, that means for our maintaining this body and for transactions in this world, for vyavaharam purpose, vibhijarati kva kvacha mrisha natatho bhayayuk. Upanishads are saying there that because of vyavaharam, that we can accept that to some limit, this prapancham or creation. But it can, so the satta or the sadbhavam is only in the karanam, not in the cause and not in the effect. Karana satta, it's called, these are all words used in the Vedanta philosophy. Karana satta and karya satta. Karanam is the cause, karyam is the effect. Karanam is the soul, Brahman. And karyam is the world, creation. Karanam, there is satta, but in karyam there is no satta. Karana satta is there, but Pruthak Satta. Pruthak Satta means Karya Satta does not exist. Pruthak Satta does not exist. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 87th chapter, in the 10th canto, where personified Vedas are talking about the creation, it mentions like this, Sadamudamuttidam sadidijenanyutarkahatam vyabhijaradi kvaja kvaja mrisha anadatho bhayayuk vyavakrataye vikalpam ishido andhaparambaraya abhramayati Bharatita Uru Vrittiru Rukta Jadhan. That means this creation, which is actually what we refer to as the material nature, because sometimes people say, because the world has come from perfect, this should be perfect. No, need not be. The source is perfect. Brahman is perfect. The soul, Atma, is perfect. But because it is in conjunction with Maya, this has been created, it is imperfect. It is imperfect. That is the explanation for that. Sometimes, from the Dvaita side, they will argue in that way, saying that this world has to be perfect because it's come from the perfect source, but it's not. Upanishads don't accept that principle. Sada idam uttidan. This is a logic in the Vedantam. In the Vedantam, it is a logic. although everything that has come from the Sat, whatever has come out, that's all Sat. But in that case, is not everything Krishna then here? That question also comes, isn't it? So, yes, it is. But if it is Krishna, is it not perfect then, everything? When we say refer to Krishna means that the soul is addressed as Krishna. Krishna is the soul, isn't it? The origin is Krishna. Govindam Adi Purusham, Samaham Bhajami. So, Ishara Parama Krishna. Krishna is the source. So, everything that has come from Krishna also must be perfect, isn't it? So, yes, then it should not be perfect then. Vyabhicharati kvacham. Upanishads are saying, Vyabhicharati kvacham. Perfection is only possible in the soul, Chaitanyam. Only in the Chaitanyam there is perfection possible. But whatever that has come from that Chaitanyam, if you start looking for perfection, that means this is Drishyam and the other one is Drikka. Drikka is the source. Drishyam is what is we see now as manifested. If you start looking for perfection in the manifested part, there Maya is present. There Maya is present. What will the Maya do? So Maya, what it does is, it will make us feel that everything is perfect, but it will never be perfect. It will play with us in that way. It will play with us in that way. So sometimes you will notice this. So many things happens in this world, and if you try to find out, logicize it, you won't be able to logicize it. There is no logic behind anything under the domain of Maya. Maya's power is that powerful, she is, that as soon as the soul is in contact with Maya and in the process of creation, whatever that is created, if you look for perfection there, you won't find it because of the presence of Maya there. Presence of Maya there. So, and nature of Maya is, it comes and it goes. It changes everything after a while. People always say everything is changing, isn't it? We keep saying that. Places are changing, body is changing. Everything in this creation is continuously changing. So that very changing nature is an aspect of Maya. It's an aspect of Maya. And because it's changing, perfection is not possible. Perfection is not possible. That is the very nature of that. That is what Vyabhicharati Kvacham, that Vyabhicharam. Vyabhicharam takes place. Vyabhicharam, actually, if you translate it, is prostitution. Prostitution in this sense is that what will happen to the created, and the created forms will all subjected to changes continuously. Subjected to change. If you observe even Ramchandra's appearance, Krishna's appearance also, you can see they have come and they have disappeared at the end. They didn't stay. They didn't stay here. Because the purpose of all this thing is to show to us the vastu inside. Vastu behind everything. That is the most important thing. That is the only thing that is perfect. Everything else is imperfect. Atma or the soul is the only thing perfect. If you keep on inquiring about perfection, purnatvam, in the world outside, there is no point. Uddhava is saying here that. That's what Uddhava is saying in those verses. Uddhava is saying that people are struggling in this world. Uddhava is acknowledging that. Uddhava is saying that people are suffering in this world and struggling here in different ways. In different ways. So, and Uddhava also says to Krishna, I only see one remedy for this. What is that? The knowledge of the soul. The knowledge of the soul. There is nothing else. Therefore, in 1000 names of Vishnu, Vishnu Sahasranamam, or 1000 names of Vishnu, one name for Krishna is medicine. Bheshajam Bishak. Medicine is Krishna, the doctor is also Krishna. Medicine is Krishna, the doctor is also Krishna. So, the solution to all the problem is, for all the problems, is Krishna. Solution is only Krishna, nothing else. That is what is stressed here. That's what is stressed here. Because Krishna's form is knowledge. or the knowledge of the soul. Atma Jnana Swarupam. Or in other words, Jnana Swarupam is Krishna. So, so till you drink that knowledge of the soul, or once you start taking it on board, these material miseries will never go. That is why Bhagavadam is stressing, Upanishads are also saying the same thing, that without the knowledge, without the understanding of the soul, of the self, they're saying that it is never be possible to get out of this miseries of the material nature. It's not possible. They are saying to us that no matter what you do here in this world, you will never be able to free yourself from the threefold miseries, adhyatmikam, adibhaudikam, adidevikam. The only way, he's saying, is you can free yourself is by studying, going back to the source where it's come from, and start absorbing in that source, which is the soul. So, you can do a lot of things in this world to make it perfect, but it will never become perfect. Never become perfect. But you can do certain things here, just like in Vyavaharam, transactions. Transactions, you can do some things here to keep it going. But beyond that, don't expect any perfection in this world. That is the message from Bhagavadam as well as from the Upanishads. Just like we have, you can notice sometimes there's big potholes on the road. The roadworks department, they'll come and fill the potholes and then run the roller for a while and they'll go. After one change of season, again the same potholes will come back. So that's similar to that, this world is. You can patch up something here and there, but perfection is not possible here. It's not possible. Why? Krishna is saying that it is created like that. Although it is come from the sata, which is the soul, in reality it is asata. In reality, it is asat. So similarly, our life is also like that. An example is like this, that a person, he was selling these toys to children. So he had one set of toys, which he took it to one house, where there was a person who lived with his children there. So when he took all the toys there, the son wanted a particular toy from the many toys what he has brought. And this particular toy was, he had a number of balls in his hand. There was a lot of holes in it. And he had to put all the balls in different holes and it should drop through that. So when he came there and to sell these toys, the son insisted that he wants to have that particular toy. So the father, who is a very scientifically minded person, so to say, scientifically minded, and he was very wanted to get that toy for the son. He bought it and gave it to him. So when he started using that, he found that some balls were going through the holes, some of them were not going through the holes. So he called the person who sold the toys and told him that why these toys don't go through the holes. He said it's built like that. So similarly, Krishna is telling us, this world is created like that. If you want to keep on pushing the ball through the hole, it may not go through. So similarly, Krishna wants us to understand that we, because of our ignorance, ajnanam inside, we think everything should work perfectly in this world. It won't. It cannot. It's not possible. And that is why, so, therefore, Krishna's point is, don't try to repair this world too much. It won't work. As I said, one big sannyasi mentioned about this. He said that he spent all his life in building an institution and trying to change the world, everything. And afterwards he came back, and by the time he finished all his work and by the time he was retiring from his activities, he noticed that everything has gone back again to the same old situation. So he says, I wasted all my life doing this. And he gave the comparison, it's like trying to put the pipe on the tail of a dog to make it straight, he said. As soon as you take the pipe out, the tail will go back to its original position. That is the nature of this world. So he was saying that if I take the pipe out, how the dog's tail goes back to its bent condition. Similarly, you try to change this world, in a very short time it will go back to its original nature again. And then he gave the argument, it has to be like that, because the next generation which is coming, they need something to do. So we have to keep the world back again, in the old way. So that is what this nature of the world is. Many, many people have come here to fix this world, to repair it and get it going, but it never worked. So far it hasn't happened. So similarly, what we are talking about is the distress in this world is like that, isn't it? So many distresses, so many different kinds. We try to think that it is possible to solve all these problems, but it is not possible. So after doing everything, we'll come back to this understanding at the end. So there's only one medicine, Krishna is saying here. Uddhava is also saying that the knowledge of the soul. There is no other medicine. Temporarily, we can engage people in so many different things. But ultimately, if they are not ready for taking this message from Krishna, from the Bhagavadam, then they will have to go on hammering in this world till they come to that point. One day they will also come to that same understanding. So, knowing very, very well these things, Uddhava saying to Krishna, show me, please show me the way. Because the body, the mind, and for all of that, even for the body and the mind, the ultimate solution is knowledge. Temporary solution for the body is, what is that? The food, the shelter, the clothing, all these things. They are temporary solution to the body. Similarly, protection from the heat, from the cold, etc. But they are temporary. But ultimate solution for the body is not any of these things. Atyandiyam. You will notice in the Bhagavatam this word used is Atyandiyam. Atyandiyam means ultimately what is the perfect solution to the problem. He says here. So, after making all these temporary arrangements, still there is no satisfaction in anything. So, in spite of all these developments and scientific experiments and research work, still disease is coming. Isn't it? Still disease is coming. And we are unable to do anything about it. Sometimes you can see that very, very wealthy people, they have all resources. But sometimes certain diseases, they come, diabetes or cancer or things like that, and they just have to leave this world helplessly. They cannot do anything about, nobody can do anything about it. So, even on a very gross level, we have not succeeded in solving any of these problems. None of these problems, we are not able to succeed. Even on a gross level, we could not free ourselves from these problems. What to talk about in a subtle level? Body, material body is subjected to disease, to death, and old age, all these things. And these are facts. Nobody can deny about that. So, the only thing what you can do is just to accept it. Just to accept it in that way. So, just like the larger ball cannot go through the smaller hole, once for all, you can't solve all these problems here. And just like when you have headache, you can take paracetamol. Or when you have diabetes, sugar problems, you can take the medicines for that. But knowing very well that the body cannot be fixed. It's not possible. There is no point in trying to think that body will become perfect. The second thing is the mind. many few people understand that this mind is nothing but most powerful force of Maya. It's the most powerful force of Maya is this mind. And so, the first the body and then this mind. Thirdly, combining these two, body and the mind, and keeping us in this identification with the body and mind, which Krishna calls it as ajnanam. Krishna calls it as ignorance or ajnanam, which covers us very strongly. So these three things. First, to accept that the body can never be perfect. Better not to get too much absorbed in that, in the sense it is never going to be perfect. Secondly, this mind, which is nothing but a very forceful energy that's coming from Maya, and it is ready to always play with us in our life here, in our existence. So first the body and then the mind. And thirdly, that deep ignorance in us, which covers us so powerfully that forces us to identify with the body and the mind. Identify with the body and the mind. So these three things, combined is called the basic ignorance in us. Primeval ignorance, they call it in Vedanta. Primeval ignorance in us. So, realized soul, they have one thing to tell us. What is that? If you take away this ignorance from us, Anubhuti, and who has got that realizations in them, they are saying that even if there is problem with the body, even if there is problem with the mind, those who have freed from the ignorance, for them, mind or the body, they know very well, is not connected with the soul. In other words, the problems of the body or the problems of the mind is not happening in the soul. This realization that they will have. So that they will have in such a way that if you cannot completely take it on board, even hypothetically if you accept it, you will get a lot of benefit from that. I know in experience it's not possible, going to happen overnight. But that very principle Krishna is saying, if you accept it, that body can never be perfect. Mind is going to give you trouble always, because it's a powerful energy from the Maya. And there is a powerful cover of ignorance, Avarana Shakti called, which is covering us, keeping us in identification with the body and the mind. When these three things are there, Krishna is saying, if you free yourself from this ignorance, realized souls are saying, if you free from the ignorance, the problem of the body and the mind will not disturb you anymore. Will not disturb you if you free from the ignorance. But if you cannot free from the ignorance, Krishna is saying, at least hypothetically if you accept it, although you may not realize it, if you accept it hypothetically, it will do a lot of good. That will be a great mercy, it says. Because once you accept that principle, you will notice yourself something that happens inside, in life. In life also, something else happens. So, even on a relative plane, that means, even on a relative plane, because body and the mind are on a relative plane, it's not on the absolute plane, isn't it? Body and the mind is on a relative plane. Even on a relative plane, when the body and the mind is there, and at the same time, on a relative plane, you are engaged in all these transactions in this world, vyavaharam. All these things are happening in the absolute level, none of them is affecting me. That is their understanding. In an absolute platform, because spirit soul is on the absolute platform. The material body, the mind, everything is on a relative platform. All our dealings and transactions in this world is on a relative platform. So, on a relative platform, all things are going on, but because the realization inside, that on an absolute platform, I am not affected by all these things, that will give us the greatest relief. Krishna is saying that. But if somehow or the other, if we break away from this ignorance and come out from there, then even if something happens in the body and the mind, it will not disturb us. It will not. This is the realization of the great personalities, jnanis as well as the great devotees also, they say the same thing. That is what is called self-realization, isn't it? So, that is what is called self-realization. So, this you can see in many instances how this has happened. Is in sometimes, once in an ashram somewhere, in a remote corner, there was a sannyasi there who was living there, and he had a few disciples also who lived in that ashram with him, So many of the visitors who were coming to the ashram, they were seeing this sannyasi, and sannyasi was very much a part of their life in the sense that they can constantly listen from him, Shastram, and these principles of the principles of this philosophy, Krishna consciousness, what Krishna has spoken here in the Bhagavatam, all these things. Yeah. So while when he was instructing about these things, one devotee mentioned to him, "You people are all realized," he says to the sannyasi. "You are a realized soul. You don't have any tension," he said. "You don't have any tension." That's what we normally say, isn't it? If you say this philosophy, Krishna consciousness, or what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavatam to many people, they will say to you, "For you, you can say all these things because you don't have to worry about anything. It's us who are suffering. Why you are telling us all these things?" They cannot. They think, "Oh, this is all Vedantam. We don't want to hear anything." They'll say like that. They'll say like that. "We don't want to hear anything. It's all Vedantam. As though Vedantam is some nonsense coming from somewhere else." That's how they'll put it to you. So he also said in a very polite way, this devotee who was there, he said that we are materialist. We are absorbed in the material world. We have got our family. You are a sannyasi. You can say all these things. They put it to him. For us, we have got a lot of problems in our life. We have got our children, grandchildren, and then we have got our old parents at home, and then we also have our work to do and maintain our life, things like that. And whereas you people, you don't have any attachment, not sticking anywhere, so you may not know all our problems, he said to the sannyasi like that. So sannyasi said, "Who told you like that?" He said, "Who told you like that?" Actually, we have much bigger attachment than you, he said. He said, "Your attachment is only limited to your family." But sannyasi said, "My attachment is towards everybody who comes here. I'm attached to them in one way or the other. Because I also feel when they are suffering like that," he said, "that I also feel distressed about that," he said. "Because when I see them, that they are so absorbed in their family life to such an extent, and the family problems what they have to face, plus added to that their ignorance, that they are so busy with that. In addition to that, they are not making very far in their spiritual life. All these things are disturbing me also," he said, "or also disturbing me." He said, "Day after day I am telling them these things from Bhagavatam, but nobody is taking anything. And they are continuously suffering from one thing or the other. And that is also causing a lot of distress in my mind," he said. Sometimes thinking about you, I may not even get sleep sometimes, seeing the miseries what you are going through." So at that time, another sannyasi, who was a junior person, who was sitting next to him, he asked him, "If it is like that, if you are also having all these problems, like they are having their problems, the householder has got his problems. Family life means problems, isn't it? If all those problems, if you are also having it, where is the difference between you and them?" A junior sannyasi asked this question to him. So he mentioned to him, "If you have samsari means one who is absorbed in samsara, material life, isn't it? So if like them, if you have the same pain in your mind, if you are feeling the same distress also and attachment like them, if you are feeling all that, where is the difference?" he said. Because sannyasi is saying, "I am also attached like you, I am also having all the problems like that." So he said, the sannyasi, the senior persons told him, "It is true that it is there, but the difference is this," he said. "When all these things are going on, I am conscious that behind this there is something else which is completely unaffected by anything. That unaffected by anything what is going on." So that realization is what is that differentiates a jnani or a pure devotee from the ordinary people. They also have problems. They will also get sick. They also feel the pain in the body. Every great devotee, jnani you take, they have also suffered in this world. We say, "Oh no, 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 they don't feel any pain." No, no, they do feel the pain. Many great people, they got cancer before they died, and months they struggled and suffered with that. But what is the difference? Difference is this, that when they are suffering with that body, we feel this misery, what is going on. Pain is there, but they are fully conscious that they are not that body. That is there. That is the advantage. That is where they escape from the problem. that even when so many problems are happening in the body and the mind, they are always able to separate themselves from the body and the mind and to stay in that state. That is what he said. The senior sannyasi said that. Because when the householders who had come in the ashram and they were saying all their problems to him, he has to constantly listen everything. Different problems, isn't it? Everybody's problem is different. That is the another interesting thing if you look into this world. It's not the same for everybody. Different people have different problems. Some people have problem with the health. Some people have problem with children. Some people have problem with relationships. You don't know what it is. Problems are different. Everybody is suffering also in one form or the other. So with all this misery, they are coming to him. And he is watching this and listening to all of that problem every day. So you can imagine what happens. If you have to, your own problems are there, and then you have to listen to everybody else's problems also in this world. So that's why this question came up. And he said, yes, I also suffer as much as they do. He said, but what was the difference? Difference is this. When all these things are happening, he was fully conscious that there is something behind all these things which is totally unaffected by any of these things. That is the point Krishna is driving Uddhava to. Uddhava, if you don't come to that realization, miseries are not going to go away. Problems of all the problems in this world will remain. Nothing is going to go. It will all stay. Problems in the body will stay. The problems in the mind will stay. Everything will stay. But Krishna is saying here that if one is able to come out of that and remain fully aware of that screen behind where nothing is happening, soul is never touched by any of the three modes of nature or the material miseries or anything like that. There is no other difference, he said, the sannyasi said. So, so while performing sadhana also, there will be some detachment from all these things. In the sadhana, not in the sadhana state, in the sadhyam state, siddha dasha. Siddha dasha means after the perfection of sadhana. In that state, one will come out of this and he will be able to remain in this world like everybody else, but at the same time, he will have no contact with anything. He will have no contact with anything in this world, including his own body. And he will be fully in that state, Anubhava Mandalam, it is called. In that plane, he will be able to stay. He'll be able to stay in that plane. Sri Rajarya Swamiji, in his commentary, he says like this, how will you know about a jnani, a realized soul? How will you find out that? He says here, only through intuition. Only through intuition. Because in their presence, the peace what you experience and their happiness, only after seeing that you can realize that they are realized. You can understand that they are realized. Because to remove the three kinds of distress, which one? Adhyatmikam, Adibhaudikam, Adidevikam. These three kinds of distress, only thing that can do that is jnanam. Uddhava is saying, Krishna is saying here, jnanam, jnanam. There is no other medicine will work. No other medicine will work. So Uddhava is saying to Krishna in a very sad tone, in a very unhappy tone, miserable tone, he is saying to him, that is that ninth verse. If you look into the ninth verse, you will see Uddhava's cry. Uddhava is crying there at that time to Krishna. The ninth verse. Chapter 19, verse 9. Uddhava is saying that verse also, just like we saw the verse 7, we saw the verse 8, and the verse 9 is also important. In a verse, it is very much packaged everything. Too packaged, nicely packaged. Tabatrayena bihadasya khore samdapyamanasya bhavadvanisha pashyaminanya charanam tavangri dundvadavatrad amrdabhivarshad. Uddhava is saying there, isn't it? Tabatrayena bihadasya khore సంతప్యమానస్య భవాధ్వనీశ పశ్యామి నాణ్యచరణం తవాంగ్రి ద్వంద్వాదపత్రాద్ అమృతాభివర్షాద్. ఇసైసే ద్వంద్వాదపత్రాద్ అమృతాభివర్షాద్. హియర్ యు విల్ సీ హియర్ దెన్ సంతప్యమానస్య, యు కెన్ సీ ఎ వర్డ్ దేర్, సంతప్యమానస్య. సంతప్యమానస్య మీన్ దే ఆర్ బర్నింగ్. పీపుల్ ఆర్ యాక్చువల్లీ బర్నింగ్. దే ఆర్ ఇన్ సో మచ్ డిస్ట్రెస్, ప్రాక్టికలీ దే ఆర్ బర్నింగ్. అండ్ వెన్ యూ సీ దేర్ డిస్ట్రెస్, ఉద్ధవా ఇస్ సేయింగ్ ఇట్ లుక్స్ లైక్ ఇట్స్ ఎన్ ఎమర్జెన్సీ దట్ దిస్ నాలెడ్జ్ ఆఫ్ ద సోల్ షుడ్ బి గివెన్ టు దెమ్ ఆన్ ఎన్ ఎమర్జెన్సీ బేసిస్. బట్ యూ గివ్ ఇట్ టు దెమ్, దే హ్యావ్ టు అక్సెప్ట్ ఇట్, ఇస్ ఇన్ ఇట్. దే వోంట్ అక్సెప్ట్ ఇట్, ఉద్ధవా ఇస్ సేయింగ్ దేర్, బికాస్ వాట్ దే ఆర్ సేయింగ్ ఈస్ దట్ వీ డోంట్ వాంట్ ఆల్ దీస్ థింగ్స్. దిస్ ఈస్ అవర్ సిచ్యువేషన్. We don't want all this Vedantam. They'll say, tell us something practical. This is how people. If you tell them the solution is Krishna consciousness or Srimad Bhagavatam, they'll say, well, that all you can say, but tell us something practical solution to our problems. This is how people come up with. We want some practical solution, they say. So, what is their version? Their version is that Vedanta philosophy and Vedantam, Jnanam, all these are impractical. All these are impractical, they are saying. They don't want all that, they want something practical. Because ultimately one day we will understand that this is the only practical thing, everything else is impractical. Till we get to that point, we have to go with this. There is no other, nothing we can do about it. That the only practical thing is this. Srimad Bhagavatam is telling us that is the only practical thing. When we say practical, that's the only real solution to the problems. And there is no other solution, because as an after effect of the prarabdha karmam, so many kinds of distress will come in this life. As an after effect of the prarabdha karmam. So, and not only that, all kinds of distress are different from one to the another. One kind of distress will not be the same for another person. One person will have one kind of distress, another person will have a different kinds of distress. So all kinds of distress is completely unpredictable. And completely unpredictable. And you can also notice that you are living reasonably peaceful in this world, suddenly a lot of bombs drop on your head. Householder life is like that. Suddenly a lot of bombs will be dropped on your head. Those who have got experience, they'll know that, how the bombs drop. And you don't have to even explain this to the householder. Suddenly one day you go to the doctor, doctor says to you, you've got this disease, you've got that disease. Or suddenly you go back to the office, he hands over to you the P60 and tells you to go. So every time people are shocked, isn't it? Continuously shocks coming from everywhere. And the only thing what we are conscious of that is this one thing. Whether we have knowledge of the soul or not, these bombs keep coming all the time from one side or the other. And you can expect different kinds of distress coming at some point or the other in life. So it is only because of this only for this reason that we are willing to hear Srimad Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise not. Otherwise who wants to hear Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam? Because the bombs are dropping all the time, we know that reality, and therefore there is a little bit of seriousness to hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. So it is keeping that fire around, that's why we are sitting in the satsangam also. We know very well there is no other solution to this problem. Different people have different distresses. Some people have problem with the children, some people have problem with the husband, wife, all kinds of problems. So, because sometimes you can see householders who have gone through a life for a long time, who have experienced this distress in different forms, they will very happily sit and chant the holy name and read Srimad Bhagavatam. They can do it. Because a stage comes in life, you can't take it anymore. You had enough of it. And what do you do then? Then you will realize it, this is the only practical thing. But it has to come to that point. It takes a time. It takes time. This is important to know it. Why I'm saying this is, we think that by preaching we can make people Krishna conscious, isn't it? Nobody has become Krishna conscious so far by preaching. It's only due to distress in life, at some point in time, attention turns inwards. So many people in their old age, after going through a householder life and suffering through all kinds of problems in life, they were peaceful enough to sit and to chant and to read Bhagavatam. Sometimes children they have brought up, they died in an accident, or they left home and they went their own way. They left, our wife died, husband died, and many distress like that in life has happened to people, and therefore they are willing to listen to Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. So which one is practical now? The very people who have said in the before that tell me something practical, they have realized ultimately that this is the only practical thing, to take Krishna shelter and holy name. So all of us are in that category, and that is the only genuine cause for spiritual seeking. That's the only genuine cause for spiritual seeking. So if you are suffering in life and you are inquiring about the truth, very easily you will get to know the truth. You will get to know the truth. That is because the arrangement in the material nature is like that, that it keeps giving distress, just like you put the iron into the fire, and when it is red hot, you keep beating that. And what happens? You can make it to whichever shape you want, isn't it? And similarly, when we experience a lot of distress in life, at that time, if you push Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam to them, it will go in. Otherwise, it won't go in. It will be just a few verses, translation and purport. It will stay like that. It won't go beyond than that. So, in other words, and very soon, they will see what will happen is, if it is not like that, what will happen is, sometimes they will see some Mahatma. And the next thing what he wants to do is, I want to become like him. This is the normal mentality among the people. Always you can see this. As soon as they get to know a Mahatma who has come out of it, the next thing what they want to do is to become like him. They will say like that. And that is nothing but an ego trip. It's nothing but an ego trip. And what will they do? After some time, they'll dress them up like that. They'll dress up like them. You can see all these things happening in this world. And many people who have performed sadhana, they have found this. What is their problem? They'll think, how long can I remain like a disciple? When am I going to become a guru? He starts thinking. The next thing, that's what he's thinking in his mind. How long is it going to take? I've waited enough now. So the next thing he wants to do, he wants to become a guru. So that's the next step in their life. Because what is the reason for that? Has never suffered in life. Has never suffered in life. Because only when there is sufficient distress in life, you will say to Krishna, I don't want anything anymore in this world. Unless one comes to that point, it's not possible to get spiritual understanding of life or to make any progress in spiritual path. At that point, you will say to Krishna, I don't want any name, I don't want any fame, I don't want any followers, I don't want any wealth either, position, nothing. All I want is some peace in this life. So that, that realization will come. Till that time, you can see how it happens. How it happens. They'll just dress up and think that by dressing up they'll become like that. Whereas the Mahatma would have gone through enough distress in his life before he has come to that realization. Whereas the follower has now had no problems in life. Everything was provided for somewhere. Somebody has been providing everything for him. He hasn't experienced any distress in life. But he thinks that it's not a bad position to be a Mahatma. Why not I put some clothes on and do whatever I feel. So that is what he is saying here. So only when that mood comes, you can understand the weight, which is heavy tons of weight, what is mentioned in that verse. Do you know what I am saying? If you want to understand that verse from Uddhava, you have to go through this, and then only you will know the weight of that. Tons and tons of that weight of that verse. That's what he's saying here. Tabatrena vihatasya ghore samtapyamanasya bhagavan dhanishaha. తావత్రయేనావిహదస్య ఘోరే సంతప్యమానస్య భవాధ్వనీశాః. That unless one has gone through samtapya manasya means unless your mind is on fire, has caught fire and suffered heavily in life, samtapya manasya, he cannot anymore take anything anymore. He has enough, he had. That means normally referring, Uddhava is talking about the householder life, how people have to go through so many distresses and ultimately you realize no matter what you do, you cannot get it right. This realization will come. One day or the other it will happen. People, okay, outside everybody will show, oh, my family life is fantastic, everything is going very well. Outside we'll put a show like this. But inside the problems, everybody knows what all happens at home. Isn't it? So that is what he is saying here. Uddhava is very honest about it. He is saying, samtapya manasa bhava dhvanisha. He says the mind is completely in distress. Nothing is working. Husband wants one way, a wife wants another way, children wants another way. What will you do? All have their own ideas and realizations. So, samtapya manasa bhava dhvanisha, Uddhava is saying here. Why? Tabatrayena abhihadasya ghore. Ghoram means extremely fierce. This tapatrayam, three modes of material nature. Only when you get hit very hard, you will know it, what it is like. At that, things can happen very much like that. Very much like that in life. At a certain stage, if not today, tomorrow, any day, it can happen, anybody. It can happen. That's why Uddhava is saying, tapatrayana abhihatasya ghore, that samtapya manase bhavadhvanisha, that is Inside is burning. When that happens, that only then you can understand and how powerful that is. That means that Srimad Bhagavatam, what it is mentioning here, that heart you can only then understand. To what extent our material life and our spiritual life we have experienced, you will know at that point. We don't know Vedavyasa Maharshi, do we? We don't know. People say Vedavyasa wrote this Srimad Bhagavatam. And though there are people who are doing research on Bhagavatam, you know that. Huh? They do research on everything. What is their research? Research, they are trying to find out, has Vedavyasa wrote Srimad Bhagavatam? Or somebody else has written Srimad Bhagavatam? There is all these things are going on. We don't know all that. And that's not our interest either. So some people say the Vedavyasa who wrote other Purana are different than the Vedavyasa who wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. There is an argument like that also among these people who are doing this research work. So we have not seen any of the Vedavyasa, either this Purana or the other one. But what we know about is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam we have got with us, isn't it? So what's our opinion on that is this, that whoever has realized this Srimad Bhagavatam, he is Vedavyasa. He is Vedavyasa. And see who has given it to us. Let it be anybody. Vedavyasa is his name. We don't know anything. But in whoever heart this Srimad Bhagavatam appears or illuminates, you can call him as Vedavyasa. Because that is how it is. Vedavyasa Maharshi, who have given us Srimad Bhagavatam, he has seen all sides of life. All sides of the life. Nothing that he has not seen. So even those distresses what we have not experienced in life, he has written about that in the Mahabharatam and Bhagavatam. Distresses what we haven't even experienced in our own life, Vedavyasa Maharshi has put them in Mahabharatam and Srimad Bhagavatam. And the greatest distress that can happen in one's life and the problems that comes along with that, and all those things, what it is possible that can happen in our life, just like a mirror, he has produced that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sometimes when you read Srimad Bhagavatam, can all this happen? You may think like that. You can see that also. Because he has seen the world from all dimensions. So there's nothing what he has not seen in that aspect. And he knows where all the distress is also. And he also knows the solution for that. There is no point in knowing only the distress, isn't it? You also have to know the solution. So that is why he is saying there, Pashyami nanya charanam tava angridvandvada vatrad amrudabhivarshad. Because he knows the problem and he knows the solution. Because he knows the solution, that is why with full confidence he is mentioning there, Uddhava is saying there, Pashyami nanya charanam charanam tava angri dvandvada vatrad amrudabhivarshad. Why is he able to say like that? Because that saying to him that fine, give me a solution, Uddhava is asking. Because Pashyami nanya charanam tavangri, I don't see through Uddhava. Vedavyas is talking actually. Through Uddhava, Vedavyas is saying, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, I do not see any other solution to the problem except taking shelter of your lotus feet. Pashyami nanya charanam tavangri. Dvandu adabhatrad amrudabhivarshad. What does that mean? Dvandu adabhatrad. Dvandu means duality, isn't it? Dvandvadavatrad amrudabhivarshad. Dvandvam creates problem. Dvandvam, duality creates problem for everybody in this world, isn't it? As soon as you get some happiness in life, very next day it will be miserable. Every day you notice this, you can yourself see. That's why when somebody asks, oh, yesterday I was on the top of the world, today I'm in the most hellish condition. Why is this change happening one day to another? That itself is the greatest distress. Because in that situation, Shanti won't come anywhere. Dundvadabhatral amrudabhivarshad. So, one who wants to free oneself from the duality, we have to actually pay our obeisances to Uddhava here. Because Uddhava is saying here, Uddhava is not asking here, actually, through Uddhava, Krishna is speaking. These questions which are coming from Uddhava, is actually Krishna is putting through Uddhava to himself. In order to give an answer to that, Krishna is again stressing that point. If you want to find a real solution to the problem, except cultivating this knowledge of the soul and taking Krishna's lotus feet, there is no other practical solution to the problem. Krishna wants to make it very clear to us. You may go on trying to patch up everything by doing things in this world, but the very subtle level, Krishna is telling us, the body you can't fix. The mind is the energy which is coming from Maya. The source is Maya, from where this energy has come, called mind. Body will always give you trouble, it can never be fixed. Mind is coming from Maya, can never be fixed. And covering all these things, the deep ignorance which is covering all over and making us to identify with the body and the mind, that is also difficult to overcome. That's also difficult. Unless there is sufficient realization from the knowledge of the Bhagavatam, Krishna's words is accepted. So Krishna is saying there that even if you can't realize it now, at least accept it, then you will get a lot of relief from this misery. That's the point Krishna is saying here. Krishna knows very well, it is not easy to cut through that ignorance in us of the body and the mind. It's not easy. Krishna acknowledges that. Therefore he says, at least for the moment, if you just accept it, that it is like this, this body is like this, the mind is like this, and I have this deep level of ignorance surrounding me. If you accept that Krishna is saying there, you will feel a great relief while living in this world. Hypothetically, even if you accept that. So the reason is this, that once this question and answer, many times we have spoken about before also, that people ask all these questions, isn't it? Why I'm going through this distress? And where is this answer coming from? The understanding has to be like this, that from the source from where the question is coming, it is from the same source the answer also comes. The source from where the question is coming, sometimes people come and they will ask questions about various things, isn't it? About the soul, about the miseries, there are miseries in this world and things like that. Whenever they are raising the question, you have to understand the source from where that question has come. It is from the same source the answer also has to come. Answer also has to come from the same source. So, so the question arises from the same source, the answer also comes. Source is the same. Here, looking at Uddhava, Krishna has mentioned this. Krishna has mentioned this. Krishna is saying to Uddhava in many times, you are not separate from me. 2-3 places in the Bhagavadam, you will see Krishna is saying to Uddhava, you are not separate from me. Separate from me. Tvam tu bhagavadeshvaham. You will see in the third canto. Somewhere Krishna mentions that. Tundu ba tvamevaham na samshaya. You are not different from me. You and me are the same. Why does Krishna say like that? Because on a bodily level, you can't take these things anymore. They are not based on the body. Krishna is talking about it from the platform of the soul. On a spiritual level, Uddhava is not different from Krishna. Because the source is the same. Uddhava source and Krishna is the source. The source is the same. Source is the same. So, Krishna says there, between us, there is not even a space for dropping a mustard seed. Even that much space is not there. To that extent, we are together. If you look in the fourth canto, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a statement about this. In the fourth canto, there it says there, in the 28th chapter, where this is the Puranjana story. If you remember the Puranjana Upakhyanam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is 5 chapters in the 4th canto, where Srinarada Maharshi goes to Prajina Barhis, a great king, and talks to him. Prajina Barhis was very much involved in the Karmagandam, isn't it? So Prajina Barhis performed many, many sacrifices. He could not stop performing sacrifices. He has killed many animals in the sacrifices. So one day Krishna sent Narada Maharshi to him to instruct him on the knowledge of the soul. So he goes to Puranjana, Srinarada Maharshi goes to Prajina Barhis and started talking to him that why you are continuing killing these animals in this sacrifice. And Prajina Barhis told him that I am following the Vedas, Karmagandam. I am executing the sacrifice based on the Karmagandam, and after performing the sacrifices, when I leave this body, I will go to the higher planets and enjoy my life. This was Prajina Barhis' reply. So Srinarada Maharshi understood that it is not possible to give any instructions to this person, Prajina Barhis. So in the form of a story, he spoke in 5 chapters what is known as Puranjana Upakhyanam, the story of King Puranjana. It's a famous story in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's an allegorical story. It's not a real one. It's not really happened. But in allegorical way, he presented that life of Puranjana, how he lived in this world, and that's a big story in the Bhagavatam, where it mentions this issue comes up. Aham bhavan na janyastvam tvameva aham vichakshabho nano pashyanti kavaya chidram jadumanagavim. He says here that our Puranjana went through a lot of Puranjana married Puranjani, his wife, and they had children, grandchildren, and they were living happily in one time. And then the old age came, and diseases came, and death happened to Puranjana. Puranjana had to leave home. So, all his family life and happiness, everything finished. In one day, everything was over. So, at that time, Puranjana had to accept another body again, and take another birth. And eventually, next life, she had to go, and fortunately she got a good birth in the wife of a king, and they lived a life, and ultimately he died, husband died, and she was crying in the forest, keeping the husband's body in the fire. At that time a brahmana comes and speaks to him, and these were the verses. Aham bhavana janyastvam tvameva aham vichakshabho nanau pashyanti kavaya chidram jadumana agavim. Brahmana says to him, you are not different from me. You are not different from me. And you are me. And please understand that. And people who have got discrimination, they don't see any difference between us. In other words, it is the same story in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which comes in a different pattern. Like the two birds sitting on the tree. very similar, same message actually. But that means the Jivalma separated from Paramatma, that state, in full realization, Jivalma comes back to the Paramatma. That was that statement there. Aham bhavan machanyastvam, tvamevaham vichakshvabho, nanau pashyandikavaya, chidram jadu managabi. Chidram jadu managabi. That means when that union happens from Jivalma to Paramatma, which is explained in the Upanishads also, Dvasubarno Saijo Sakhayam, that verse in the 11th canto. So there again, it mentions like this, that you are not different from me, and exactly that's what is Krishna is saying to Uddhava also. Krishna is saying to Uddhava also, he's saying the same thing. So here, in the person who is asking the questions through Uddhava is also Krishna. What is the question? Because in that question, there is so much compassion there. So he says here that Krishna says to Krishna that all the people are bitten by the snake. What snake? Kalahina. You will see in the next verse it mentions there. The fate of the people, that's what Krishna is saying there. Dashtam janam sampadidam bilesmin kalahina kshudra sukhor utarsham samudharenam kripayabhavargir vajobirasin jamahanubhavam dashtam janam sampadidam bilesmin kalahina kshudra sukhor utarsham samudharenam kripayabhavargir Vajobi Asinja Mahanubhava. Krishna is talking through Uddhava, putting this question, saying to him that Dvashtam Janam Sampadidam Bilesmin. Everybody has fallen into this deep well of material existence. Material existence is compared to a deep pit. You've fallen inside there. And what else has happened? There he is bitten by the snake called the time. Kalahina kshudra sukho urutarsham. And all he is attached so much, and then he is bitten by the snake. Samudhrainam krabayavavargir vajobi asinja mahanubhava. Then, somehow or the other, by your instructions, Uddhava is saying this actually, but Krishna is speaking through Uddhava, making Uddhava to speak like this so that Krishna can reply that. It is Uddhava-Krishna-samvadam, isn't it? Uddhava is not separate from Krishna. You must never forget that. Uddhava, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Tundu Bhagavadeshwaham, you are me. You are no different from me. In that consciousness, all these feelings from Uddhava comes out in this way. Krishna is speaking through Uddhava and says to him, Samudharainam krabaya abhavargir Vajubhirasinja Mahanubhava. Said, only if you speak this knowledge properly to us, it will have some impact on us and it will actually wet our heart. And from there we will get some kind of relief from this misery. So those three verses, 8, 9 and 10, Uddhava has spoken. Jnanam Vishuddham Vibhulam Yathaidal Vairagya Vijnana Yudham Puranam Akhyahi Vishveshwara Vishwamurte Tval Bhakti Yogam Jamahad Vimirgyam Tavatrayena Bihadasya Khore Samdapyamanasya Bhavadvanisha Pashyami Nanya Charanam Tavangri Dundvada Patral Amrda Bhivarshal Dashtam Janam Sambadidam Bilesmin Kalahina kshudra sukhor utarsham samudharenam kripayabhavargir vajobi asincha mahanubhava. So through those three verses, Uddhava has mentioned, Krishna has put these questions to Krishna himself. He wanted to answer those questions. So you can see here that what is the nature of this snake, what he is talking about there? Dushtam janam sambadidam bilosmai kailahina kshudra sukhoru darsham. So this snake, what is that? He says there, when this snake has bitten Kalahina, Kalam. Kalam means, Kalam is the snake, the type, the snake. And when it has bitten, the poison has gone into the head. Poison has gone into the head. In the Ashtavakra Gita, you will see this mentions in a nice way. There it says there, what is that poison? What is that has bitten us, this snake? How the snake bites us? Aham kartyeti aham manam aha krishna hidam shida naham kartyeti vishwasa amrutam pitva sukhi bhava. It bites us like this. I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That's how that snake has bitten us. When this snake of the time personified, Kala Sarpam, when that bites us, it gets into our head, the poison goes to the head. What's that poison? Poison is this, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Aham karteti aham manam aham aha krishna ahidam shida. That when the snake is bitten, the poison that has gone inside is this, that I am the doer. I am the doer. Everything I am doing, I am doing. And that is what it is, the cause of all this distress. This we know. If we are able to break away or separate ourselves from this consciousness that I am not the doer, then most of the distress also won't come back to us. Isn't it? So that's why it's mentioned there, aham kartedi aham manam maha krishnahi damshida. This is Ashtavakra Maharshi's words. In the Ashtavakra Gita, he says this, aham kartedi aham manam maha krishnahi damshida. This maha sarpam, this big snake, this big snake which has bitten us the time, what it has done, it has injected this poison into our head. Then I am the doer. I am the doer. Aham manam. And I am. That ahankaram has gone so strongly inside. So that is why aham kartedi aham manam, he says. So I am doing everything and I am experiencing everything. I am enjoying everything. This is my life and my happiness, my career, my this, my that, everything mine. This is so strong. And says here, what is the remedy for that? That disease, kala hinam, because kalam, the time, the snake has bitten us, somebody belays me that I have fallen, after that bitten by the snake, I have fallen into this big pit, into the cave, or into this tank, where I have fallen inside. Kshudrab sukha anu tarshaha. Krishna is saying here, Uddhava is saying here actually, Kalahina Kshudra Sukhoru Tarsham. Have you noticed that word? Kshudra Sukhoru Tarsham. What does Kshudra Sukhoru? In other words, that although this is our real situation in this world, still we will look for little happiness here. Kshudra Sukham. Kshudra Sukhoru Tarsham. And struggling for that, to get a little happiness here. That is what is mentioning here. So just like somebody who is known to you, they have put him into the prison. You go and visit him on a Sunday and give him some burfi. So something similar to that. Then you are trying to give him some happiness. So he gets it like that. In the burfi, they don't get in the jail any burfi. So you thought that you'll give him some burfi today and took some burfi for him. So we don't tell the jailer, please release him from the jail. No. You say, you keep him there, but we'll bring the burfi for you on a Sunday. Our life in this world is like that, isn't it? We aren't bothered about getting out of this place, but somehow or the other get a little bit of burfi here and there and be satisfied somehow. That is the mood here. So, they say in a different way that we are in the jail and the prisoner inside, he is telling the jailer, if you could just paint all these windows, it will be very nice. How will you take it? That as long as the jail looks nice, I don't mind living inside the jail. That is the mood. That's the same mood what we have also, isn't it? There is no effort to escape from here. Still keep painting the walls and the windows, decorating it, and somehow to keep this place going. So that's what it is mentioned here. Or put a fan or air conditioning for me, I'll be happy here. That's all I need here. So, except instead of trying to get out of the jail, trying to make the jail happy, because we started liking it here. That's the problem. Whole problem is this, that we have started liking it here. So, that is what Krishna is mentioning here, that samdapyamanasya bhava dvanisham kalahina chudra sukhoru tarsha. All those words are indicating this. Krishna is speaking in a way that somehow it has some effect on us. It's very difficult, I know, to get that effect in our life, because we still think that that Krishna can say all these things, it's not practical, or it's not that bad here, is it? We will say like that. People think like that. It's not that bad. You make my life very hard, make my life very difficult by saying all these things. But Krishna is saying like this. Krishna is saying that we are here, chudra sukhoru tarshe, chudra sukham. Chudra sukham means that little relief here and there, we are satisfied. Very easily satisfied. Very easily satisfied. That's why it's easier. So, so one person, this is just a small story. One person wanted to take sannyas. So what he did, he thought, where should I take sannyas? There are so many ashrams, so many people are offering sannyas in so many places. So he went to all ashrams, so many ashrams he went to. Ultimately he selected one ashram, he took sannyasam there. So somebody asked him, what made you to take that decision to go for this ashram? He says, the only one reason, I looked everywhere. It's only in that ashram they give you tea in the morning, he said. So this is how people make decision. That is, his sannyasam is like that. He thought, at least this place is not bad. There is tea in the morning. Every morning they give you tea. So he says, I took sannyas there. I stayed in that mud. You have to take sannyasam somewhere, he says. So I took it there because facilities are better there. So this mood has come to everybody. That's what Krishna is saying here. Then, and not only that, he says, you get tea on time there in the morning. So, in other words, all these days he was inquiring this when he was going to different ashrams. This is what he was inquiring. So, he was not looking for spiritual knowledge or self-realization where he can get tea. That's what he was looking for. Kshudra sukhoru tarsham. That is what that verse is talking about. Kshudra sukhoru tarsham. So, little things in life is controlling us, our life here. If you observe, you can see that. Small things controls our life. And that is sufficient to get us. That is sufficient to get us and to lock us up in the prison. To lock us up in the prison. So big things are not required to keep us here. These small things are sufficient. And that is why there's a 5 verses known as Maya Panchakam. We're discussing about Maya. What is Maya means? So one of the verses is Shruti Shada Nikamanda Shodhaganyam Ahahadanadhini Darshanina Sadhya Kalushayadi Chadushpada Dhabhinnan Tokadida Gadana Padiyasi Maya. Maya is a very difficult thing to discuss, isn't it? How to explain Maya? Ajarya Swamiji combined these 5 verses, what is known as Maya Panchakam. You can find that on the internet. And he mentions there Maya Panchakam, interesting verses. Akatita Padana Padiyasi Maya. Every verse ends with that line. Akatita Kadana Padiyasi Maya. Maya's power, how she shows to us. How capable and powerful she is. He says here, Shruti Shada Nagamanda Shodhaganyam. She is very expert in making the impossible happen. She can do that. That's her success. Some people, Ajarya Swami says, they have studied all the Vedam, all the Upanishads, everything they have studied. Kalushayadi Chadushpadad Abhinnan. That means after studying all the Vedam, Upanishads, everything, still there is no realization in them. Realization in them. Tokaditakatana padiyasi maya. And the way they act after studying all these things, Adhari Swamiji says there, Tokaditakatana padiyasi maya. Only maya can do this. Nobody else can do it, it says there. Why is it like that? Because sometimes in spiritual life also you can see, because there is no realization, they have studied everything, they have taken sannyasam, and they have presented themselves as though they have got the realization also. But maya is such, if you just show them 100 pound note or 50 pound note in front of them, everything changes. Whole thing changes. So if it is like that, Acharya Swamiji says there, what to talk about ordinary people. So, even after studying Vedam, Shastram, everything, still as soon as some money is shown, they get immediately carried away by that. So, because it is like that, he says, maya is such a powerful thing. Because sometimes in the householder life also, because there is no satisfaction from that life, that there is also in the middle of all these miseries and problems, we are still willing to spend some time to sit in the satsangam and to hear Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. Because you are thinking that other things are all settled now. Other things are all settled and satisfied with everything. So, but although we do go to satsangam, we go to hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But if you look, it's minor, a very, very small disturbance at home is sufficient to take you out of the satsangam. All that what is necessary is your neighbor or next door neighbor, his child or who has become 18 or 21 or something, and there is a party, and if I don't go, what will happen? That's sufficient to finish the satsangam is over. Then you got busy with that. Next, this is how serious we are about spiritual life. That's what Krishna is saying here. Kshudra sukhoru tarsham. Just need a little excuse not to come and hear Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or take Krishna consciousness seriously. That's what Krishna is saying there. Kshudra sukhoru tarsham. A little thing is sufficient at home. I mean, a little thing means something like this, somebody or a friend of yours whose daughter or son has become 18 or 21 or there is some party. If I don't go, what will they think about it? What will happen? Forget about marriage and all. Marriage, you don't have to say about it. Marriage, as soon as the letter comes, immediately it goes on the diary. Isn't it? Marriage is a much bigger thing. But in a simple, even a simple thing like this, 18th birthday or 21st birthday, or something like that, some insignificant thing happens, our satsangam, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, everything goes through the window, out, finish there. This is how we are. That's what Krishna is saying here. The point Krishna is making here is that seriousness in spiritual life means a lot more than that. Kshudra sukhoru tarsham. That's why he's saying here, tabatrena vihadasya khore. Samtapya manasya bhava dhvanisha pasyami nanya charanam tavangri dvandvada patra amrita abhivarsha dashtam janam sambaditam vilesmin kalahina kshudra sukhoru tarshe sugra sukhoru tarsha samuddharenam kravaya abhavargir vajobir asinja mahanubhavam. So this kshudra sukhenu tarsham means little happiness in life, little things, very little things. It will cheat us and go. It will cheat us because you will get trapped in that. So, getting trapped in that and to get a little happiness from there, and we are willing to take any amount of beating in this world. Punching or beating, if somebody gives us all sorts of trouble. Still, if there is a little happiness, that is sufficient for us. So, just like you can see, this does not, don't think that this is only in household life. It's also in the ashram, in the temple, everywhere. The same mood prevails. the mood remains there also. Because you can see here, sometimes you watch in the prasadam queue. For a plate of prasadam, they will fight each other. Or sometimes there will be a lot of arguments and this and that. Every problem in the ashram starts from the kitchen. It starts from there. All the problems. In every ashram, it starts from the kitchen. That's where all the problem starts. Philosophy, everything is left there in the temple room itself. When they come to the queue, for the prasadam queue, there is fight. There is something will happen there. So that is our nature, is like that. Shudra Sukhavarya Tarsham. That's what Krishna is saying here. That so sometimes it will happen in all big temples also it happens. Not only in one temple, every temple, everywhere it happens. In villages, all big temples it happens. One day somebody was cooking sweet rice in a huge pot. And something happened, people pushed each other and one fell into the whole sweet rice. He went and fell into the sweet rice because it's a huge pot. It was being cooked. He fell into the sweet rice. So then there was a fight again after that. So you can see, if you observe, little things like that, little things like that will make you realize that how attached are we even to this little happiness what will come from a plate of prasadam or a shudra sukhavarya tarshe, as Krishna calls it here. So what we have to understand is, smaller things can get hold of us, get a good grip on us, isn't it? So how, is asking, Uddhava is saying here, because it is like that, what possibility is there that they will escape from this very powerful grip of Maya? How are they going to escape from that? That is what he is saying here, that Vajobi Asinja Mahanubhava. Uddhava is saying, Vajobi Asinja Mahanubhava. That's what it means. Please tell us, Asinja Mahanubhava. You are the great person with the great heart, saying to Krishna. Please tell us, unless you do something about it, how are they going? Because our attachment, even at a small level like that, is so strong. We say we have no attachment and all that, but we know what it is like. When it comes to something matters related to our own personal thing, we all get very quickly concerned about it, isn't it? Shudra Sukhavarya Tarshe, as Krishna says there. So he says here, Vajobi Rasincha Mahanubhava. So therefore Uddhava says here, Samudhareinam Kripaya Bhavarge Vajobi Rasincha Mahanubhava. How can I come out of this with my own strength? Uddhava is saying to Krishna. So this is what I have got. A small thing is sufficient to make my mind to move. Just like in the case of that sannyasi, a cup of tea was sufficient to move his mind. There are millions like that. He's not only one person in that way. There are millions like that. So even a breakfast or a plate of prasadam at lunchtime is sufficient to move our mind, disturb our mind. So, so when it is like that, how is it possible to come to that state where the mind doesn't get disturbed over any of these things? And how one can free oneself from the miseries of this world? How will I get rid of this ajnanam or ignorance inside? And how shanti will come inside and also with my own effort? This is the question from Uddhava. How am I going to get it? I will not be able to have it. Uddhava says this to Krishna. Krishna, using Uddhava as an example, is actually talking about us. This is what we are. Krishna wants us to understand that. That this is your state now. And with this mind and with this kind of mood, how are we going to escape from this most powerful thing called the three modes of material nature? How are you going to free yourself from that? Even when a small thing completely disturbs your mind to such an extent, he says. So it is not possible, Uddhava says there, for the people in this world, Kripaya Samudharanam. He says like that, isn't it? Samudharenam Kripaya Bhavargir. That is where Krishna's mercy comes. Kripaya Bhavargir. Teshamaham. You will see in the Bhagavad Gita also Krishna mentions there. You remember this? At some point in spiritual life, Kripa is the only way. There is no other way. Krishna mentions that. Teshamaham samudharta mrtya samsara sagaral bhavamina jiral partha mayaveshita chedasam. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see that verse. Teshamaham samudharta mrtya samsara sagaral. It is Teshamaham samudharta mrtya samsara sagaral. Ninth is it? Twelve seven, is it? Okay. Yeah, Teshamaham 12:7, yes. Teshamaham samudharta mrtya samsara sagaral bhavamina ajiral partha mayaveshita chetasam. So there Krishna is saying that this is the chapter we are going to discuss now, the 12th chapter. So of course we'll see that at that time little bit more in detail. But here, if you look into the seventh verse, he says there, they put sixth and seventh together. Yedu sarvani karmani mai sanyasa malpara ananyeneva yogena mam dhyayanta upasade teshamaham samudhartha mrtya samsara sagaral bhavamina chiral partha mai yaveshita chetasam. Krishna says, for one who worships me, giving up all his activities unto me and being devoted to me without deviation, engaged in devotional service and always meditating upon me, who has fixed his mind upon me, O son of Pritha, for him I am the swift deliverer from the ocean of birth and death. Ocean of birth and death. So, Teshamaham samudhartha mrtya samsara sagaral bhavamina jiral partha mayaveshita chetasam. In the Bhakti Yogam chapter, Krishna says, in the Bhakti Yogam process, it is called Kripa Sakshalkaram. There is different kinds of Sakshalkaram. Sakshalkaram means self-realization. Sakshalkaram that comes through mercy. That's why it's called Kripa Sakshalkaram. Kripa Sakshalkaram. So this Kripa Sakshalkaram is actually recognizes our limitations and our weakness. Our limitation and our weakness. So when you know that with your own effort or with your own strength, you can't get over this weakness. That's where Kripa Sakshalkaram becomes important. When our attachment in this world is so deep, and when small things, very, very small things in life, is disturbing the mind to such an extent, Krishna is asking the question, how are you going to get over this Maya if it is like this? That's at that point the verse is driving at. It's telling us, this is our situation. Through an example, Krishna is mentioning to us, this is how you are attached to things. To such an extent you are controlled by, under the grip of these things, little things in this world. Little things like a plate of prasadam or a meal in time or some comfort, small comforts in life. If that is making you disturbed so much in the mind, it makes your mind to move and get disturbed over it, what possibility is there that you are going to get out of this Maya, the three modes of material nature, which Krishna acknowledges that it's not easy, isn't it? He mentions that in the Bhagavad Gita, Devikesha Gunamai Mama Maya Durateya Mam Eva E Prabhadyande Maya Medam Tarandide, he says that. So, through that example, Krishna is saying, Shudra Sukhori Tarshe, even Shudra Sukham, or very small happiness in this world, is disturbing your mind to such an extent. What possibility is there of escaping from here? Asking that question, Krishna is giving the answer, that if you have recognized your limitation, if you have accepted your weakness or limitations, then the only option you have is to be dependent on Krishna's mercy, Kripa. That's what it is called, Kripa Sakshalkaram. So, knowing this and surrendering to Krishna, only at that time, Krishna's Kripa Shakti, the power of Krishna's mercy, will come over to the mind and it will bulldoze the mind and take over. And the power of Krishna's mercy you will experience at that point. That's the time when you can experience Krishna's mercy. It is in the Bhagavadam, mentions in a different way. Bhagavadam says like this, that when, that is when surrender happens, isn't it? When surrender happens, like in the case of Uttara Devi, Kundi Devi, and also Gajendra, all these, if you look at them, you will see that they all had different strength in them. Gajendra always thought he is very strong. And he had a complete faith in him, in his capacity, and his so-called family members who were with him. Gajendra's story is like that, isn't it? So he had so much faith in his own strength and in the strength of the family members, Gajendra's family members. So what happened? Because of that faith, he continued. And when the crocodile caught him, he started realizing that family I can't trust anymore. First he tried on his own, didn't he, to pull the leg away from the crocodile, but it wasn't working. And he was always had complete dependence on him, his strength, and all the other family members who were with him, other elephants who were with him. So he thought, if they all work together, who is this crocodile? After all, it's a crocodile. That was that elephant thought. So when he pulled his leg, it wasn't coming out. And then Bhagavatam talks about, for thousands of years, they were pulling both ways. The crocodile and Gajendra was pulling both ways, and Gajendra couldn't escape from there. Ultimately, others came to help. They also tried, they also couldn't help, and one after the other, they also left. They also left. And then, one day, by Krishna's kripa, that is mercy. It is only due to that mercy, Gajendra realized that I can't do it. The limitation he realized, that he doesn't have the capacity to do it anymore, to come out of the control of that crocodile. And that is when he said, Narayana Akhila Guru Bhagavan Namaste, that famous verses in the Bhagavatam, when he surrenders to Krishna. So, Sharanagati or surrender happens in a state like that. It's the same thing happened with Draupadi also, same thing happened with Kunti Devi also. They all said the same thing, isn't it? So, so when this powerful force, which is Krishna's mercy, that is a powerful force, when that comes, then what it does first thing is, it completely bulldozes our false ego, the ego inside. That is Krishna's mercy. When our ego inside gets bulldozed by this mercy that is coming from Krishna, you can take it, when this ego is going away from inside, that is the symptom of that mercy coming from Krishna. This is the conclusion of the sages. Sages, Sukhabrahmarshi says to us that. Sukhabrahmarshi says to us that you may have a lot of suffering at that time when that ego getting hit very strongly. The onslaught, he says, the onslaught of that power, of the power of that Krishna's mercy, when that starts flowing in. And even though it will give you some trouble, ultimately it will come out successfully. It will come out successfully. So inviting that mercy from Krishna to come, that is what that word is talking about. Samudharainam, that word samudharanam. Samudharanam means that. Samudharainam krabayabhavarge vachobi asincha mahanubhavam. To understand that properly, that is how you have to take it. Understand this. That when there is a powerful misery, experience of misery in this world, after you have put all your effort to get rid of that misery and to escape from that misery, when everything has failed and you have realized that nothing can be done about it and willing to surrender, at that point is when Krishna's mercy starts coming. And when Krishna's mercy starts coming, the symptom of that is that your ego inside starts slowly melting away from inside. That I can't do anything about it. I'm helpless. that state inside, that able to accept that I can't do anything about it. I am helpless, I have no shelter except Krishna. It is, if that thought comes inside, you can take it, Krishna's mercy is coming. Up to that point, it is not Krishna's mercy is not coming, Ahankaram is doing everything. But when that mercy comes in full swing, in that flow of that mercy, our false ego completely goes away. False ego completely goes away. But the only thing is that is that word, Krishna has used all the words very carefully there. You can see, samudharenam krabaya bavargir vajobi asinja mahanubhava. Samudharenam krabaya bavargir vajobi asinja mahanubhava. Uddhava is saying to Krishna, these three verses which Uddhava has spoken here, they carry a lot of weight behind it. Carry a lot of weight behind it. Because the discussion of the topic is a very important topic. If you can just read translation in the verses, you may not feel it. But what Uddhava has spoken there, that after suffering in material life and experiencing all the miseries of this material world, when you find there is no way you can escape from this situation, Krishna is saying here that this is the only way. That is, Krishna's mercy is the only way you can free yourself from that state. Because we on our own are very weak. A little happiness in this world or little misery completely disturbs us. With such a strength of mind, what can you do about fighting the modes of material nature? Where is the question of escaping from the material nature? That's what the first point is. So it is not possible to one's own effort. A stage comes like that because of our own limitations and our own weaknesses. When that stage comes, the only thing that can help is what is known as Kripa. Kripa Sakshalkaram it's called. Because earlier, Krishna has already said this, that without knowledge, it's not going to happen. Isn't it? Without knowledge, it's not going to happen. Knowledge is the only answer, he said before. And now he says, how will that knowledge come to us? That is Krishna's Kripa. If that knowledge has to manifest in us, Krishna's mercy is required. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. It is not something you can study from the book and have it. You can't get that knowledge. That knowledge is not meant to be like that. This knowledge will come through Krishna's mercy. That is what he is mentioning there. The only thing is that samudharenam kripayava vargir vajobi vajobi rasincha mahanubhava. That is why vajobi rasincha mahanubhava. That means whatever Krishna has spoken, that words, asinja, it has to start making its impact inside. That is what that means. Asinja means it should start wetting, make it wet inside our consciousness. In other words, ahankaram has to go from inside completely. Completely the false ego has to go. Vajobi asinja mahanubhavam. The only thing is, we should be absolutely ready to receive it when it comes. When that kripa comes, we should be ready to receive it. If we are not ready to receive it, because suppose you have constructed a dam in the sea and you put a hole through that, what will happen? All the water will flow through that hole, isn't it? Similarly, the whole water will, powerful force of the waves will come through that. Similarly, there is a verse in the Bhagavatam, it says that Krishna, when you call Krishna, it is like this. Akram Alpanyavastidam, it says in the third canto. Akram Alpanyavastidam, that the prayer to Krishna is like this. You should come and take control of me, rather than me trying to take control of the situation. Requesting Krishna to come and take control of the devotee's prayer to Krishna. Akram Atman Navastidam. In other words, it will come like a powerful wave and it gets in and take control of the situation. That's the only way. this Kripa Shakti or this mercy of Krishna, that is the beauty of the bhakti process. This Kripa Shakti is only in the bhakti process. Not in the karma margam, jnana margam. There it is different. That's different. Isn't it? Bhakti Shastram, in Bhakti process, this Kripa Sakshalkaram is a very powerful force. Powerful force. In the Upanishads also, there is a mention about that, spoken in a little different way. It is in the Kathopanishad. It says there, all these verses when you study, you have to look from both sides, from the Jnana Margam as well as from the Bhakti Margam. When it is spoken in the Upanishads, it is from the Jnana Margam, on the basis of Jnana Margam. The verse in the Upanishad says, Nayam Alma Pravachanena Labhyo Na Medhaya Na Bahuna Shudena Yamai Vesham Vrunude Tena Labhya Sasyesham Atma Vrunude Tanusmam Nayam Alma Pravachanena Labhyo. The self cannot be known through study, through much of a study. Studying Upanishads is not going to get to know the self. Self-realization won't happen. Upanishads are saying this. Nayam Alma Pravachanena Labhyo. Then, Na Medhaya Na Bhuna Shrutena. Not by your Medha. Medha means intelligence. Not by your intelligence. Nor through much hearing. Also you may not get it. Also you may not get it. Not through much hearing also. Yamai Vesha Vrunude Tena Labhyaha. It can be known only through the self. When the self inside decides that you can have it, you can have it at that time. Yamai Vesha Vrunude Tena Labhyaha. Sasesha Alma Vivrunude Tanuswam. Because even though you are hearing a lot, ultimately from inside, he also has to say, Krishna is present inside, has to say that I will accept it now, what has been heard. When that comes from the self, then you can have it. So, in the bhakti process, we call it as Kripa Sakshalkaram, Krishna's mercy coming and taking control of everything. In the Upanishads, in the Jnana Margam, it says, self-realization won't happen, Emai Veshe Vrunude Tena Labhyaha. That simply by your effort or by studying Shastram or by hearing a lot, it may not happen. Only when Krishna, who is inside everyone's heart, when he decides to accept the knowledge and have its impact inside, it will happen. Otherwise, it won't happen. So, in other words, for a jnani, it is recognizing the presence of the soul inside and accepting that firmly inside, or complete acceptance of the power of the soul inside. And when you do that, the Atma will get hold of you. The soul will move and start taking control of the situation from inside. For a devotee, it is that he surrenders to Krishna to that extent, completely expressing his inability. Remember, we have discussed this before. What is the jnanam, difference between jnanam and bhakti? Difference between jnanam and bhakti. Bhakti depends on surrender, sharanagati, isn't it? Jnanam depends on Shraddha. That's the difference. Jnanam depends on Shraddha. Bhakti depends on Sharanagati. Shraddha is another word. We have to understand that. Shraddha, sometimes people will say faith. It's not just faith. It's a lot more than faith. Shraddha, the word, is defined by Acharyas in different ways to make us understand what Shraddha means. Shraddha has a very wide kind of things is covered in that word Shraddha. So, so here it mentions there that it captures you. The soul from inside captures it, takes the message what you have heard and translates it or transfers inside, happens inside. The message is going in through the ears, but inside here, somebody has to accept it, isn't it? If he has not accepted it, it won't happen. It will remain in the brain. It won't go into the heart. So acceptance in the heart is done by the soul from within. That's again Krishna who has to do that. So that is why it said, in Jnana Margam they say, whether you have heard a lot, whether you have studied a lot, whether you have gone through all the books, doesn't matter. It may not happen. Still it may not happen. Unless you have accepted that soul inside who is capable of doing that. He alone can do that. This is from the process of knowledge, Jnana Margam. From the process of bhakti, It is completely surrendering to Krishna, saying that this is my limitation and this is my weakness. I just don't have the strength to come out of my weaknesses. As Krishna says here before, that a small thing like a plate of prasadam or a cup of tea, it can disturb your mind. And you are talking about escaping from the three modes of material nature, Krishna is asking. Krishna is asking that question indirectly to us, that if a cup of tea or a plate of prasadam is going to change or disturb your mind so much, and you are talking about escaping from the three modes of material nature, is that going to happen? Krishna is saying that. So there, the only thing you can do is that recognizing that weakness or the limitations in us and surrendering to Krishna. Without, there is no alternative there. That is bhakti. So, if you look at devotees also, they have also spoken the same thing. Many, many great devotees, they have spoken the same thing. Manikavajagar said the same thing. What did Manikavajagar say? Manikavajagar says, I was pulled in and he kept on beating me from all sides, he says. I got beaten up so much and I was trying to escape from him, but he won't let me go. He says, he's kept beating me up to such an extent. What shall I say, he says. I didn't want this self-realization, but he pushed it to my throat, he says, at the end. So such experiences devotees had. Many, many devotees in both in Vaishnava tradition and in the Shaiva tradition, you will see in all the traditions this happens. That sometimes when Krishna's mercy starts flowing, even if you don't want it, Krishna says you have it. That's how it comes. And if you're not willing to take it, he will smash, he will beat you up in different ways, in different distress will come, and it will completely turn you around and bring you to the same point where you will be forced to surrender. And then you realize it that that was Krishna's mercy. Up to that point, you won't realize it. You'll start thinking, try to escape from that mercy. We don't want your mercy, we'll say. It's too much mercy is coming. So this is all happens in devotee's life. These are devotees. We are talking about devotees' experiences in this world. Many, many, Manikavajagar, also our Sundaramurti Swamiji says exactly the same thing. How they went through in their life and what all they went through before they were given that realization of the truth, self-realization. That is they have to walk through the fire before they can get to that. So that is what here is saying here. Samudharainam Rubaya Bivarsha Vargir Vachobi Asincha Mahanubhavam. That these words, what Krishna is talking about here, is full of self-realization, isn't it? Jnana Pradhanam. It is all relationship with the truth. And continuously talking about this, please fill me in with that. Uddhava is saying to Krishna, fill me in with those words what you kept on talking so far. So, so while all this was going on between Krishna and Uddhava, now and then Krishna will turn the attention away from this. Krishna will turn the attention somewhere else. So at that point Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, the same question came up long time ago when Yudhishthira Maharaj and Bhishma had a conversation. You know that. It is in the Mahabharatam, many, many chapters is this Bhishma's instructions to Yudhishthira. Vedavyasa Maharshi has put that into Mahabharatam in a big way. Many, many chapters it goes like that. So he says there, I will tell you, Krishna says to Uddhava, I'll tell you what Bhishma told Yudhishthira Maharaj about this. And I'll tell you that, he says to him. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Ithamedal Purarajam Bhishmam Dharma Bhradham Varam Ajada Shatru Papracha Sarvesham No Anishrunudam. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Ithamedal Purarajam Bhishmam Dharma Bhradham Varam Ajada Shatru Papracha Sarvesham Nunu Shrinudam. Nurte Bharade Yudhi Sukhram Nithana Vihvalaha Shrutva Dharman Bahun Paschan Moksha Dharman Prachadam. Tana Hamte Abhidasyami Deva Vrata Mukha Shrudan Jnana Vairagya Vijnanam Shraddha Bhakti Uba Brahmhidan. Those three verses. Krishna is talking about the background. Suddenly, Krishna has taken the attention away from the message and went back to history a little bit. He says to him, let me talk to you what happened between Bhishma and Yudhishthira Maharaj. What happened in the after the Mahabharata war? You remember that story in the Bhagavatam also, that there is Bhishmobadesham, it is called in the Mahabharatam. Then after the Mahabharata war, Yudhishthira Maharaj started complaining about the war. In the palace there was a little bit of problems, because Yudhishthira started thinking, such a war has happened and so many people got killed and I am responsible for that. He is responsible for that. Yudhishthira started thinking like that. Initially it didn't come out very much, but little by little, now and then he will mention this to Arjuna and Bhima and others. In the palace he was saying this. When Arjuna and Bhima heard that, they told Yudhishthira's elder brother, isn't it? So with respectfully they told Yudhishthira, no, it's not your fault. It is all was meant to happen. And Krishna was present there, so what more can we say? It was meant to happen. You are not responsible for all that. So when Bhima replied like that, or Arjuna replied like that, Yudhishthira got more angry with them. Angry in the sense that he started saying that, yes, you can say Krishna was there, but actually I sent Krishna to avoid this war. That was the idea behind sending Krishna to talk to the Kauravas, to Duryodhana and others, and somehow to avoid this war. But instead, I think he has worked against me. He was actually plotting this war. He wanted this war to happen. And now what has happened? Everybody's gone. Everybody's dead and gone, he said. So, and he started talking this openly. And Krishna was there in the palace. Krishna also has heard that. Practically, Yudhishthira was accusing Krishna was the cause behind the war, in other words. So when Yudhishthira started saying this, Krishna didn't say anything. Bhima and Arjuna went and complained to Krishna, he's talking like this. Krishna says, don't worry about it, it will go on its own way. For some few days he may talk like this and it will leave, he said. Afterwards he will stop it. It's like that, isn't it? He will moan and groan about something. After a while he will say, forget it. It is done with. Finish with it, he said. But Yudhishthira was not giving up. Yudhishthira kept poking more and more. Yudhishthira started talking very seriously. Then Krishna is responsible. Because inside there was a guilty consciousness. That he was feeling guilty. Thinking that I am responsible for this. Everything. So many people died. All this misery I have caused. This will always happen. Whoever does that, isn't it? It's not only Yudhishthira, whether it is Saddam Hussein or Hitler or anybody who does it. They all get the same. It is from inside. Krishna is present there. He will create this. It's not that they can escape from that. It will come back somehow or the other. That is the way the situation is. So anyway, this happened. So ultimately Krishna said to Bhishma, Arjuna said to Krishna that, why all this? Why don't you talk to him? When I felt so depressed once in battlefield in Kurukshetram, you spoke to me Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, and I got back my strength. I was able to fight the war and I never felt depressed after that, he said. Krishna says, I don't think it will work with him, he said, about Yudhishthira. Of course, Krishna had higher plans, different plans. That also Vedavyasa Maharshi says there, that about Krishna. He says there. So he says to Arjuna, if you insist, I can talk to him, Bhagavad Gita, but I doubt very much it will have any impact, he said. Anyway, in the assembly of all the Pandavas, and Kripa was there, Daumya was there, Daumya Maharshi, and Vedavyas, everybody was present in the palace once, and Krishna spoke the whole of Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira heard everything, and he went to sleep. He fell asleep, like us. When he heard Bhagavad Gita, he fell asleep. He said, it's too boring, he says. That was Yudhishthira had said that. He says, it's boring. So, have you finished now? He says to Krishna. Yudhishthira was elder to Krishna also. So, Krishna was respectful to Yudhishthira. You know that. That whenever Krishna came to see Yudhishthira, he pays his obeisances to Yudhishthira. Krishna pays obeisances to Yudhishthira. With Bhima and Arjuna, he gives them, he embraces them and reciprocates in that way. Nagula and Sahadeva comes and pays respects to Krishna. So that's how that Pandava's relationship with the brothers, five brothers. So Yudhishthira was never convinced. The same Bhagavad Gita, the same speaker, and the same words were spoken. For one person, it worked. For another person, nothing happened. Vedavyasa says this in the Bhagavatam. Why? He is asking that question. And he talks about Krishna in there, in that verses there. At that time, Krishna says to Yudhishthira, okay, whatever I have said, you can't accept it, can you? He says, fine. If Bhishma talks to you, will you listen? Will you understand this? He said, if he tells you that you are not responsible for this war, and this was meant to happen, and this will not have any effect on you, will you accept that? He says. Immediately, Yudhishthira has forgotten that Bhishma has left his body. That's what Yudhishthira was thinking. He says, by your same logic and reasoning, you got him also killed, haven't you? Who said this? Yudhishthira says to Krishna, that you are responsible for killing him as well. This was the words from Yudhishthira. Krishna says to Yudhishthira, have you forgotten, my dear brother, that he hasn't left his body yet? He's still lying there. Oh, only then Yudhishthira thought that, oh, he hasn't left his body. Arjuna has made the bed of arrows for him to sleep, and he's still lying there. So he hasn't left his body, has he? No, let's go there, he said. Immediately Krishna, with Yudhishthira, Arjuna, Bhima, all the Pandavas, everybody went to see Yudhishthira Maharaj. And that is where this conversation happened between. It was a plan Krishna has devised in such a way that he wanted to go and see Bhishma while Bhishma was leaving the body. This is Bhishma's special mercy Krishna has given to him. Normally, everybody says to Krishna that I should not forget you. We all go to Krishna before we leave the body, isn't it? That's why we run to Vrindavan, Mayapur, Dwarka, everywhere we run. Why? Because we think that Krishna is there. We run to Krishna. But in Bhishma's case, Krishna runs to Bhishma. That is the difference. You have to notice that. In everybody else's case, we run to Krishna. In Bhishma's case, Krishna runs to Bhima. Sorry, Bhishma. Krishna runs to Bhishma. So that is how much Krishna cares for Bhishma. So when he was there, all the Pandavas are there, knowing very well, prompted by Krishna, all the other great sages also arrived on the scene. And that is where Bhishma, famous Bhishma Stuti in the Bhagavatam, comes at that time. After that, after the Bhishma Stuti, then Krishna sends them to Yudhishthira, you ask all your questions now. Before he leaves his body, let him answer all your questions. And there is a number of questions. And it is that questions and the answers to that is what you see in the Bhishma Varvam, in the Bhishma's answers to conversation with Yudhishthira Maharaj. And they are very important. So there this question came up that there, you have to remember, it is done in the battlefield. All that instructions were given in the battlefield. Not like in a nice room like this with all the facilities, nothing. Arjuna, everybody was standing there and Bhishma was lying down on the bed of arrows, Sharashaya. And sometimes Bhishma was feeling the pain also. And Arjuna has put some arrows to support his head. So many things happened at that point. And enjoying, seeing all that, Bhishma was struggling very much. Still he spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj about the questions what he has put forward. In Mahabharata, actually it comes in the Shanti Parvam. Similarly, in that Shanti Parvam, this particular part is referred to as Moksha Parvam. But in the Shanti Parvam it comes. And from now on, what you will see is those things, what Bhishma has spoken to Yudhishthira Maharaj, which comes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Ekadasha Skandam, which Krishna is quoting here. Krishna considers that as very, very valuable. He says here that, Nivrte Bharate Yudhe, 12th verse, if you see what happens. Nivrte Bharate Yudhe, Sukhran Nidhana Vihvalaham, Shrutvan Dharman Bahun Paschan, Moksha Dharman Prachadaham. Nivrte Bharate Yudhe, when the Mahabharata Yudham was over, the battle was over, Sukhran Nidhana Vihvala, Yudhishthira Maharaj became very weak because of the death of so many relatives and friends. and in fully when shrutva dharman bahun paschan moksha dharma anupracchadam. At that point he wanted to leave this world. Who? Yudhishthira Maharaj. You could see that vairagyam had come because of the distress he had experienced in that war. Because of that, he inquired from Yudhishthira Maharaj, inquired from Bhishma, what is the way to liberation? What is the way to? That is called moksha dharma. That's why it's called moksha parva. In Mahabharatam, in Shantipuram, it comes as moksha dharma, moksha parva. So here also you can see that moksha dharma anu prachada. How do I get liberated from this place? And that is moksha dharma. Moksha dharma anu prachada. He asked that question. You can see again, when Yudhishthira went through that battle, he felt depressed about that at the end, isn't it? So that has, even though it has happened with complete approval from Krishna, a devotee like Yudhishthira Maharaj, great devotee, but inside that wanted to get out of this. Wanted to get out of this. And I mentioned this before also that after the war was over, practically everyone was dead. Only 3 or 4 people were left. Chadu Panjava Sheshita, it says in the Bhagavatam. 4 or 5 people were left. So Duryodhana is teasing him. We fought this war for what? What are you going to rule? Where is the kingdom? There is nobody in the kingdom. Only the land is there. What are you going to rule? He says, you can rule now as much as you want. Yudhishthira is telling this, Duryodhana is saying this to Yudhishthira. So Yudhishthira also is feeling inside, it was all a waste of time at the end. He felt that. And that is what he is saying here. Moksha dharma anu prachada. He started asking, I wanted to go away from here. I had enough of this. That's the only way one will develop some desire for liberation. Only through distress. Only through misery. Only through suffering. That is what opens up the gate. Not otherwise. Otherwise you can say that, I've distributed all these books and people have read all that and they are all looking for liberation. Do you think it will happen? They'll read the book and they'll tell others, look, this book is very good. You read this book. Krishna is saying that you can get liberation. You'll tell others, everybody. Put back in the shelf and go on doing the same thing what we did before. But in order that to happen, this has to happen. That's why he says, Nivrte Bharate Yuddhi Sukhran Nithana Vikhvalaha. That he has lost everything. That after the war, Sukhran Nithana Vikhvalaha. There's no friends anymore to talk to anybody. And completely in distress. Shrutva Dharman Bahun Paschan Moksha Dharma Anu Prachadam. That he started inquiring about liberation at that point. Tanaham De Abhidasyami Deva Vradamukha Shrudan Jnana Vairagya Vijnanam Shraddha Bhakt Upabramhidan. What he says here. Tanaham De Abhidasyami. He wanted to hear from whom? Devavrata. Devavrata is Bhishma. Devavratamukha Shrutan. He wanted to hear from the mouth of Devavrata, from Bhishma. What did he want to hear? Jnana Vairagya Vijnanam Shraddha Bhakti. All these things he wanted to hear. Yudhishthira Maharaj wanted to hear Jnanam Vairagyam Vijnanam Shraddha Bhakti. 5 things. Jnanam, Vijnanam, Vairagyam, plus Shraddha and Bhakti. 5 things he wanted to hear from Bhishma. Because he knew when Krishna came there, Yudhishthira started realizing that Krishna always accepted Bhishma's words very seriously, as taken, and bringing him there, he says that, and so here, Krishna is saying here, I will tell you, to Uddhava he is saying this, I'll tell you all that what I heard, what Bhishma has spoken to Yudhishthira. That is how he presents it to Uddhava. Jnana Vairagya Vijnana Shraddha Bhakti Upabramhidan. Jnanam Vijnanam Vairagyam Shraddha Bhakti. All these things I will talk to you, he says. So we'll have a small break. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. When Bhishma spoke to Yudhishthira Maharaj, in the Vishnu Sahasranamam, you will see this, the beginning of Vishnu Sahasranamam. Vishnu Sahasranamam begins, Vishyam Vishnu Vashalkaro Bhudabhavya Bhavat Prabhu. The 1000 names of Vishnu, they are very famous. This Vishnu Sahasranamam is very famous, Thousand Names of Vishnu. There are commentaries from all the great acharyas on the Thousand Names of Vishnu. What that each name means, explanation to that. It's one of the famous, the Thousand Names are there for many, many other deities also. For apart from Vishnu, Shiva also has a Thousand Names. Devi has a Thousand Names. But somehow, this Vishnu Sahasranamam has been the most popular one among the devotees. So that happened, this Vishnu Sahasranama was spoken by Bhishma to Yudhishthira Maharaj after the war, in the battle, in the Sharashaya, on the bed of arrows. So, Kimegam Devanam Loge Kimva Pyegam Parayana Stuvarnakkam Kamarchanda Prapnurmana Vashubham. That was the question. That Kimegam Devanam Loge Kimva Pyegam Parayanam Suvandakkan Kamarchanda Prapni Varmana Vashubham. That verse comes before the before the Thousand Names of Vishnu. Thousand Names of Vishnu is so elaborate discussion on that. Each word, Vishwam Vishnu, it begins, the world is Vishnu. Vishwam, whole creation is Vishnu. Vishnu Sarvaguha Shaya. In everywhere what is present is Vishnu. That is where it's coming from. Vishwam Vishnu Vashalkaro. And then normally, in many Vishnu temples, they offer the flowers to the deity, chanting each name every time. Vishwave Nama, Vishnave Nama, begins like that. So there, this question was raised, and Krishna is saying here that in that instruction, where the instruction which was given to Yudhishthira Maharaj by Bhishma, in that instruction, it was discussed what jnanam, vairagyam, jnanam, vairagyam, vijnanam, shraddha, bhakti. All those things were discussed in that. Apart from that, there is also knowledge of the shastram, Saraswati, and aparokshanubhuti. Aparokshanubhuti means direct experience of that. And and shraddha is there, jnanam is there, vijnanam is there, bhakti is there. Uddhava, Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I'll give you that, what I heard there from Bhishma. That's how Krishna is. Krishna says, I'm not saying this. An authority like Bhishma has spoken, I'll give that to you. You can have that, he says. Look, this is how Krishna is. Krishna can speak what he wants, isn't it? But he won't say like that. That is a system in the Vedic tradition, that you quote an authorized person, Krishna follows the same pattern. He will also quote authorities like that. Just like earlier you saw, Krishna quoted who? Dattatreya Maharshi, when it came to 24 spiritual masters. He says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I heard a conversation between Dattatreya Maharshi and King Yadu. I will tell you that, he says. And now he say, and then he's only in the case of Hamsagita, he said, I had to go there and talk to Brahma about it. That's how Hamsagita came out, isn't it? In the Hamsa incarnation. Here, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, I tell you what I heard from Bhishma about jnanam, vijnanam, vairagyam, bhakti, shraddha, all these things what I heard, I'll tell you now, he says. And then again he says, later on you will see, Ailagidam. Ailagidam is the story of Pururavas. Pururavas has sung a song, he says. And Pururava's story, Krishna gives to Uddhava and says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this incident happened with Pururavas. Pururavas was a great personality in our lineage, in the lunar dynasty. So from that experience, you should learn, he says to Uddhava, and give him what is known as Ailagidam. Ailagidam, which will come later in the Ekadasha Skandam. So everywhere you will notice one thing. Directly, sometimes Krishna instructs Uddhava, but when he feels, he brings all these great personalities as authority on the spiritual science, on the spiritual life. And that is how Dattatreya Maharshi came, and Pururavas came, and many others. Krishna quotes, like Bhishma comes here in the same way. This is Krishna's way of presenting the things to Uddhava. So, here, it says here, again, Krishna is going back to knowledge, to the science. Jnanam. That is the 14th verse.
Navai gadasha panjatrin bhavan bhuteshu yena vai
ఈక్షేదాధేగమప్యేషు తజ్ఞానం మమ నిశ్చితం. కృష్ణ సేయింగ్ వాట్ ఈస్ నాలెడ్జ్. నవైకాదశ పంచత్రీన్ భావాన్ భూతేషు ఏన వై ఈక్షేదాధేగమప్యేషు తజ్ఞానం మమ నిశ్చితం. నవైకాదశ పంచత్రీన్ భావాన్ భూతేషు ఏన వై హి సేస్ అమంగ్ ది భూతం మెటీరియల్ నేచర్ త్రీ థింగ్స్ ప్రకృతి పురుష మహతత్వం అహంకారం పంచతన్మాత్ర 11 senses. 11 senses means 5 senses of knowledge, 5 senses of action plus mind. They make it 11. And 5 material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, and 3 modes of material nature. If you add up all this, it's 28. Total, it is 28. For example, 28 tattvam Krishna is talking about. This is an important thing to know. Why? In Bhagavatam you will find so many places while talking about tattvam discussed in different ways. Some places they'll say there's total 28 elements. These are 28 elements in the creation we are talking about. In some places it'll say there's only 21. Some places it says there is 16. Some places it says 9. And some places it says only 3. And some places it says only 1. So Uddhava will ask this question later, which one is correct? After hearing so many tattvam, Uddhava will ask Krishna, which one is the correct one, he says to Uddhava. Krishna laughs at that time, asking, seeing that question from Uddhava. Why? Because if you understand the tattvam properly, Krishna says, you will not have asked this question. This question has no meaning, he says. But here, what Bhishma told Yudhishthira was 28. So he brings that 28 here. That's how it is. So here you can see 9, 11, 5 plus 3. 9 plus 11 plus 5 plus 3. 11, what are they? Then, Prakriti Purushadi Panchatanmatradi Egadasha Egadasha Indriyaha. And in other words, Prakriti Mahatattvam Ahangaram Tanmatra. All these things. Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram. In other words, in the Sankhyam, there is Prakriti and Purusha. Isn't it? This is a Sankhyam actually. Everywhere, wherever counting happens, it is Sankhya philosophy. Sankhyam comes there. Which Krishna has discussed in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. To some extent, and also in the third canto of Bhagavatam, Sankhyam. Sankhyam and Jnana Margam are very close. There is very little difference between Jnanam and Sankhyam. But that difference is very... many things they have agreement. But on one issue they don't agree. Vedantam don't agree Prakriti and Purusha. There is only one Atma. Prakriti Purusha Vivekam. Or this Prakriti and Purusha comes in the Sankhyam. But in the Vedantam there is no Prakriti Purusha. There is only one Brahma. Only Brahma exists. So in Vedantam there is only one. In Sankhyam it comes to two. And then it multiplies also in many ways. That's why it says here, Prakriti in the creation process, Krishna is going back to the creation process. He's saying here, Prakriti, Purushan, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Tanmatra. Prakriti, Purushan, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Tanmatra. Then, there is five Tanmatra. You know what Tanmatra means, isn't it? Tanmatra means five material elements in its subtle form. They are called Pancha Tanmatra. It is a sushmam or the subtle side of the five material elements. In other words, they are called pancha tanmatra. So the five tanmatra, then false ego, ahankaram, then mahatattvam. Mahatattvam comes, ahantattvam comes. You know, in the creation process, if you study the third canto, you will see there, from Purusha comes Prakriti, and from Prakriti comes mahatattvam. From mahatattvam comes ahantattvam, ahankaram. Then the pancha tanmatra, five material, the subtle elements of the five material gross elements. Shabdam, Sparsham, Rubam, Rasam, Gandham. They are called Tanmatra. Correspondingly, Shabdam corresponds to the sky, Agasham. And Sparsham corresponding to the touch, or which is the gross element is the air. Rupam, Rupa means form, corresponds to, that is the tanmatra. Rupam is the tanmatra or the form, which corresponds to the gross material element, which is fire. Rupam, form, is fire. Rupam, shabdam, sparsham, rupam. Rasam is that tanmatra, the subtle element of the gross material element, which is water, and the quality of that is taste. Similarly, the last one, gandham or the smell, is the tanmatra of the material element earth, and whose quality is gandham or smell. So all these connections we have to always remember. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham, which means sound, touch, form, taste and smell. These five things. Shabda, sparsha, rupa, rasa, gandham. These are the tanmatra. Their gross manifestation is the five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. And so those five tanmatra, then purusha, prakriti, mahatattvam, ahankaram. Those four, 5 plus 4, 9. So that's the total 9. Purusha, prakriti. From prakriti comes mahatattvam. In the creation you will see mahatattvam comes. From mahatattvam comes ahantattvam. Ahantattva means this false ego. Ahankaram comes. That breaks up into three. Satvika ahankaram, rajasa ahankaram, tamasa ahankaram. If you want to know more, it is there in the third canto. You can study that in the third canto. When creation process is discussed, Brahma, from Brahma, how the creation happened. Then after that nine, that five material elements, which is five, plus three modes of material nature. So we have nine here, five material elements, three modes of material nature. So 9 plus 5 plus 3, 17, isn't it? Plus five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, plus mind. So when Bhishma spoke to Yudhishthira, he presented creation through these 28 elements. It's okay. That means five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, plus mind, which is 11. Prakriti, Purushan, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, five tanmatras, total 9. And three modes of material nature and five material elements, all together 28. These 28 manifest from the soul, he says. In soul, these 28 manifest. Bhavan bhudeshu ye neiva. It says there, that you will see, it mentions, navaikasha panjatrin bhavan bhudeshu ye navai ikshadadhegam appeshu taljnanam mama nischidam. So, one who knows, Bhishma says to Yudhishthira Maharaj, one who knows these 28 tattvam and its cause and effect and the cause behind all these things, Paramatma tattvam, Ichadedhagayama peshu taljnanam mama nischidam, that is proper knowledge. He says like this to Yudhishthira. So if you know these 28 elements and the cause behind it, and cause is the soul, talking about the soul, where it all happens, all these 28, and their manifestations, and cause and effect of all these 28 things. He understands everything in the creation. That is how Yudhishthira Maharaj was told by Bhishma. So that's what he is saying here, that egam appyeshu tal jnanam mama nischidam. So, behind all these things, he says here, Egam appyeshu taljnanam mama nischidam. See that? Ichadadegam appyeshu taljnanam mama nischidam. These 28 elements are there, but behind that, behind these 28 elements, all these, there is another background or the screen behind this thing, which makes all these 28 elements to work. These 28 elements to work. If you know, that is called Samvit. That is known as samvit. That potency, samvit potency of the soul, if you know that, that is called knowledge. Says here, Yudhishthira Maharaji says to him, not knowing them separately, not knowing them individually, but knowing that force behind all these 28 elements, which makes them to function. And that is, Krishna calls it as, Yudhishthira says, to Yudhishthira, Bhishma says it is knowledge. That means the senses, the mind, the five material elements, and all five senses, and all that is not important. They are not important. In other words, the Vedic way of looking at things is a big difference from the modern scientific way of looking at things. This is an important thing. If you compare the science and the Vedas way of looking at analyzing, there is a big difference. The science tend to break up everything, isn't it? Science breaks up everything. You can see that even the body, what they have done now in the modern medicine, they have broken it up into more and more parts, isn't it? That's why we have so many different kinds of doctors, isn't it? People for ear, one doctor, ear, nose and throat, one. Then there is one for orthopedics, and then there's one for heart specialist, cardiologist, and this, like that it goes. Then added to that, we also have the psychiatrists and all others also. Like this, it breaks up everything. So science approaches break up everything into parts and study everything separately. That is how the science goes. Vedic thinking is, don't break up. Bring it together, all together, because they all exist together. This is the Vedic concept. They are saying to us that behind all these 28 things working, there is one thing which is behind making all these things to happen here. Making all these things to happen here. So, and knowing that is jnanam, he says. That is knowledge. And that is the most important thing. That is Yudhishthira Maharaj, Bhishma is saying here, Krishna is also saying the same thing later. Touching the source from where everything is coming from. Krishna is not too bothered of breaking up into these different elements and studying them. Go back to the source and get to know the source, where it's coming from. If you get to know the source, Krishna's answer is, if you get to know the source, you don't have to individually study every topic. It's not necessary. Because all these different elements, different parts, they are all getting the sources somewhere else, from where it is operated from. So touching the source is more important from the Vedic point of view rather than studying individual parts of that. So that is one. So in medical science, everything is separate, isn't it? So now we have got specialists for everything, for every part of the body, there is specialist here. So so their breaking up is important, and Vedantam, everything is bringing to one point. Everything bringing to one point. And as far as Vedantam is concerned, only that vastu is the truth. Everything else is not the truth. That is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam it says, isn't it? Dharma projjita kaita votra paramo nirmat saranam sadam vedyam vastavam atra vastu shivadam. Vastavam is that vastu. Vastu is the vastavam. Vastavam means the reality is only that vastu, nothing else. So if you study the vastu and understand vastu and realize the vastu, you have solved the problem. You don't have to go on researching. We don't know when this medical science will come to an end, research. It goes on perpetually, endlessly it is going on. Today they are saying that one thing, tomorrow they are saying something different. One doctor says one thing, another doctor says something different. And nobody can give you any guarantee to pinpoint and say this is it. Quite often they have difference of opinion about many things, isn't it? They can't come to a proper conclusions. That's because we are studying the parts. We are not studying the source where it's coming from. So that is what this knowledge is called, avibhakta jnanam. Avibhakta means where you don't break up things. Vibhakti is where you break up everything. This is avibhaktam. Krishna talks about avibhaktam later, we'll see that. But if you look at these two verses, 15th and the 16th verse, Krishna is saying that. He says there, Edadeva hi vijnanam nathai tathai gena yenayat sthiti ulpatyapayan pashyet bhavanam trigunalmanam adavandeja madhyeja srijyal srijyam yadanvayat punastal pratisamkrame yachisheda tadeva sat. Edadeva hi vijnanam nathai gena yenayat sthiti ulpatyapayan pashyet bhavanam trigunalmanam. So, when you give up this, seeing things separate, it says there, Edadevahi vijnanam natathaigena yena yad. He says, when you stop seeing things separately, Krishna says here, when you stop seeing separately, only start seeing the truth behind it, then it's called vijnanam. If you keep on studying these things all the time, individually, and not coming to any conclusion, then it is jnanam. But when you start seeing the truth behind everything, that is the soul, from where all these potencies are developing, that is called vijnanam. That's what Krishna is saying here. Edadevahi vijnanam natadai gena yena yad. Because in the last verse, if you look into the 14th verse, there jnanam is spoken, isn't it? In jnanam, it is like that. What is that? You study separately. Prakriti, Purusha Prakriti, Mahatattvam, Ahangaram, Panchatanmatra, all that, one group. Then you study five senses of knowledge, five senses of action, the mind. Then you study three modes of material nature. All you study separately. That is called jnanam. That is jnanam. But in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Edadeva hi vijnanam natathaigena yenayat sthiti ulpatyapayan pashyet bhavanam trigunalmanam adavandeja madhyeja srijya srijyam yadanvayat punastal pratisangrame yakshisheta tadevasat. So, if you look into that 15th verse, by what mood you have seen, or by your vision, you have seen all of them separately before. You have seen them all separately before. But instead of seeing them separately like that, when you start seeing them as one, as because of the source is one, from the one source everything has come. When you start seeing in that way, it's called vijnanam. It's called vijnanam. When all this separated study, you stop that. And then you start seeing that behind these broken up elements, there is one source from where everything has come. And if you start knowing that well, and start searching for that, that is called vijnanam. That is called vijnanam, Krishna is saying here. So, because he says here, punastal pratisam krami yachisheda tadevasad. Because before that, in the vijnanam, he says here, edadevahi vijnanam natathaigena yenayad sthiti ulpatyayapyayan pashyet bhavanam trigunalmanam. Because the reason is, he says, that when you are studying individually, all of them, when you are studying them individually, three modes of material nature is present there in them. Isn't it? There is nothing in this world where modes of nature is not present. And as long as the modes of nature is present in something, if you study that, you won't get it right. That's the reason behind it. You know what I'm saying? That so long as the three modes of material nature is present in anything, everything is three modes of material nature only. In different states it is. Sattvam, Rajasa, Tamasa. Three modes of material nature. It is not only present in the individual. It's present in all the objects also. Every object is classified in different modes of nature. Even among the snakes, there is snakes in the modes of goodness and snakes in the mode of passion and snakes in the mode of ignorance also. Very surprising, isn't it? But those who study about the snakes, those who have developed the capacity to cure snake bite, they know which snake is in the mood of goodness, which snake is in the mood of passion, and which snake is in the mood of ignorance. Even among the snakes, normally you would think snakes is all in the mood of ignorance, isn't it? But among them also, three modes of material nature is there. Similarly, everything in this creation, later on, when we look at three modes of material nature, it comes there. Trigunyal bhinnabhedam. That there is no place where Trigunam doesn't exist. Three modes of material nature don't exist. And because material nature is present in everything, in all these things, these 28 things, if you study them individually, you will not get a proper conclusion. That is why our research world is growing, keep on growing, going on and on and on. It will never come to an end. It will keep us busy forever. It will never come to a stop. It will keep on researching. One day they were telling us you need 8 hours sleep. Now they are saying you don't need to sleep 8 hours. After a lot of research, they have told us that now you don't need 8 hours sleep. You will see this all the time coming. One statement and then contradicting the old statement like that. Because why? How can you say that? Because they also don't know how many hours we need sleep. Then they tell you ultimately you sleep whenever you want. That's the answer finally. So they, initially they used to say like this, 8 hours sleep is a must. Now many people are saying that they can't sleep 8 hours. But they'll sleep for 3 hours, 4 hours, then they wake up, they'll do something, and then they'll go back to sleep again later. So they say it's okay. So things like that, which does not make any sense, isn't it? Not clear understanding. That's what it means. So here, Krishna is saying here, that etadeva hi vijnanam, that tade yena yena yad. Because trigunam, when three modes of material nature is present there, your study will not be proper. You won't get into the right conclusions. So, because savayavatvam it is called. Savayavatvam means that when the three modes of material nature is present, it has got a origin, beginning and an end. It has got a beginning and a end. Therefore, it's no point in studying about that. So, adavandejam adyejam srijyal srijyam yadanvayat punastal pratisamkrame yakshisheda tadevasal. Again, going back to the same principle. Adavandeja madheja srijya srijyam yad anvayad. So, something that was in the beginning and something that was at the end. Adi, madhyam, avasanam. Isn't it? Adavandeja madheja srijya srijyam yad anvayad. If there was something there in the beginning and there was something at the end, there cannot be anything in the middle. If there is anything in the middle, it is only a transformation of something which was in the beginning or which exists at the end. It is only a transformation of that. It is not truth. It's not a truth. That's the point. Andavadyaja madhyaja srijyal srijyam yad anvayad and punastat pratisangrame yachisheda tadeva sat. So, and that thing which is in the middle, it will get destroyed at the end, isn't it? It will get destroyed in the end. In the beginning, there is only the soul, Atma. From there, the creation has come. Creation has come. In the end, also there is only Atma. And creation, which has happened in the middle, that has no permanent existence. It will get destroyed. And therefore, it is Asat. Therefore, it is Asat. That is what is mentioned here. Punastat pratisankrami yakshisheda tadeva sat. But what was remaining in the beginning, what was there, and what remains at the end, that is the only sat. That's only sat. That's only sat. So, saying this, Krishna mentions here that the Krishna has a name called Shesha, isn't it? Another name of Krishna. We call Adishesha also. Krishna is referred as Adishesha. Balram's another name is Adishesha, isn't it? The Shesha, Shishyade Yesha Sanyaha. Where did this word Shesha comes for Krishna? It is from this. That what remains at the end, that is Krishna. After all this, creation process, everything over, what remains? Shesha means what remains at the end. So, you cannot destroy what remains at the end. It remains always. That means after rejecting everything, nisheda sheshaha jayada asheshaha, after you have negated everything, what remains? Neti neti vajanehi nigama ahovachaha. Vedas also talking, says in the same way, neti neti, isn't it? Neti neti, you know the famous statement, neti neti, not this, not this. After rejecting everything, what remains? That is Krishna, after rejecting everything. If you remember these words, we discussed this in the third chapter, in the 11th canto. When we talked about this, he mentions there that the after rejecting everything, what remains? That is Krishna. It says there. In the third chapter, you will see this is spoken by Pipalayana Maharshi. Maidan mano mishadi vaguda chakshura alpa pranendriyani jayadhana lamarchishaswal shabdho vibhodaga nishedhadaya alpa moolam arthoktamahayadade nanisheda siddhi. Naidan mano mishadi vaguda chakshura alpa pranendriyani jayadhana lamarchishaswal shabdho vibhodaga nishedhadaya alpa moolam arthoktamahayadade nanisheda siddhi. So here, just like the sparks that comes from the fire, how it represents, the sparks does not create any, it doesn't burn anything, it's only the big fire that does this, isn't it? Similarly, the mind, the word, the eyes, the intelligence, the senses, all of them on its own, it can't do anything. Only the spark is powerful only when the spark is in the fire. When it joined together, it's a fire, isn't it? But when the spark comes out on its own, it doesn't have any capacity to burn. So similarly, Upanishads also discuss about Brahman in the same way. Then at one point, Upanishads also says that arthoktamaha yadate na nisheda siddhi. Nisheda siddhi means saying this, not this, not this, not this. None of this. And then what remains at the end, and there is something remains, and that is what is the truth. That is the truth. So that sadvastu. Sadvastu means that is a sattva. And you have to keep on negating everything else to come to that. So the same thing is mentioned here also, that only that way it will come to this position, like he mentions here, that the interesting thing, if you want to deny everything, negate everything, also you require that thing behind. Otherwise you can't negate it, isn't it? You know what I'm saying? That suppose you deny everything, you are saying that not this, not this, not this, you are not the material elements, not the senses, I'm not the mind, not the intelligence, and not the mahatatvam, not the handatvam. I'm denied everything. All I have denied, it's not that. And after denying everything, if something else exists, that is him, which means the soul, Brahman. That is how Brahman is discussed in the Pipalayana Maharshi's that words. Nisheda Siddhi. Nisheda Siddhi is like this. Krishna is saying here that this is the Jnana Margam. The process of Jnanam is like this. That by constant reflection, you negate everything. I'm not this body, first thing. I'm not this body. And through all logic and reasoning, you establish yourself that I'm not this body. Body is not mine. Body is not meant for my enjoyment. Then I'm not this mind. I'm not this intelligence. I'm not this ego. All this, through the help of Shastram, you negate everything. After negating everything, there is something remains. Because only with his help, you are able to negate everything. So that is how Upanishad says that. So that is what is called, there is somebody inside us who is giving us the strength to negate everything also, isn't it? So this thing, the way that is done is that the one who is inside, who is seeing everything and who is giving us this power to negate everything, where it is coming from, the source, that is called a drikka. Everything else is drishyam, seer and the seen, the two things, the seer and the seen. In Shastram it's called drishya vivekam. Drishya vivekam means the ability to differentiate between the seer and the seen. There's a number of verses written about, it's a famous diary, that book, drishya vivekam. So drishya vivekam, if you study, you will see how you separate out the seer and the seen. Everything else is seen here, is it not? Everything else is seen. Body is seen, world means material nature. This is Prakriti's material elements. Basically, it's material elements. That is also seen. Mind is seen. Because it's an experience, you'll see the mind, isn't it? Intelligence is seen. Ego is seen. Everything is seen. But that one who is seeing all these things is the seer. He's the seer. So, drik is inside. Everything else is drishyam. So, separating the drik and drishyam is called drik-drishya vivekam. That drik-drishya vivekam takes us to this point. That's where this is coming from. So, why is it like that? Shariram, I'm seeing this material body and I know that I'm not this body. First thing, to begin with. To begin with, one's own body. World, you don't have to consider too much about this. To think that material elements is not the source. We know that very well. It's coming from somewhere. But thinking about the body first, because that is where our identification is, in the body. Isn't it? In the body, identification is there very strongly. In the mind, there is identification. In intelligence, there is identification. And there is identification in the ego as well. Ego as well. So all these places are places of identification. There, if you begin, that first thing is the body. How to get rid of the bodily identification? Through Shastram. And when you observe that, the body is continuously changing. Isn't it? That is why the change of body is important. If it is changing, then I cannot be this body. Does it require explanation? No. I'll tell you why. An old person, say a 90-year-old man, when he was a little baby, 1 year old or something like that, they have taken a video of him. Video of his childhood, that age group, yeah? And then the old man kept it with him. After many years, 89 years, he had children, grandchildren and all. He is living happily with all of them together. So he calls one of his great-grandchildren and shows his video to him. And says to the child, look at me, he says. Look at me. The child says, it's not you. The child is saying to him, it's not you. He says, no, it's me. He's so sure about that, isn't it? So, what has changed here? He is very sure that it is him who was there in that photo. The grandchild is saying, or the great-grandchild is saying, that's not you. It doesn't look like you, the child is saying. But the granddad is saying, no, it's me, he says. It's me. Look at that photo. He says, I was like that. He says, so that means where is that knowledge coming from? It's coming from the soul. Soul is telling him that you have not changed. Body has changed. And soul is repeatedly telling us that you have not changed. Only body has changed, isn't it? That is why he's able to straight away say, that's me, he says to the grandchild, isn't it? So, this is a situation with the body. To talk about the body, we think that we are still not sure whether I am this body or this soul or what. Isn't it? But there is ample proof in our own life in this world. If you observe carefully, you can see that we exist for all time. We never die. This concept of death is only for the body. If you accept Bhagavatam, that is what you have to accept first thing. That death is for the body, not for me, not for the person inside, the soul, has nothing to do with the death. So, similarly, so because often we have experience outside the body, isn't it? For example, sometimes a person, his leg was amputated. Leg was amputated. And after that, he went to sleep. While in deep sleep, he heard the phone ringing. And he got up to go and take the phone to talk. He has forgotten that he was amputated. He fell down. He tripped and fell. Because the part of the body that has been taken out is not registered anywhere inside. It's all normally registered in the brain only. Isn't it? It doesn't go beyond than that. When you remove the part of the body, it is not registered in the soul anywhere. And it is from the soul that your awareness is coming from. That is always complete. When you have taken a part of your body, your part of the consciousness is not taken away. Consciousness is still full. I am completely existing. That is why in deep sleep state, when he was woken up, where he was in complete contact with the soul, this separation or the separation of the part of the body has had no impact on him at that time. To prove the point that body and us are actually separate things. Are there two separate things? Bodham cannot be, consciousness cannot be in the body. This is all misunderstanding. Consciousness is only in the soul. Sometimes we say bodily concept of life, isn't it? That's a wrong usage. It's not even correct. You cannot have bodily concept of life because bodham awareness is only for the soul, not for the body. It cannot be. Body cannot have the consciousness. Consciousness is for the soul. Body is a dead thing, dead matter. It may be functioning due to his presence. That's another thing. But consciousness is experienced by the soul, not by the body. Not by the body. So the point here is that the separating the mind and the soul is an important thing. Jnanamargam, that is how they progress. That they are very firmly established on this. I am not this body. And through logic and reasoning, they have to convince themselves about it by reflecting on that and constantly holding on to that. Because Shastram is saying this, how can you reject it? You have to prove it to us otherwise. Till now, no science has proved that. They say there is no such thing called soul even. Some scientists accept that, majority don't accept it, about the presence of the soul. They are still in doubt. They think everything is body. If everything is body, they should be able to fix every body. They are not able to do that either. So, the point here is that, well, coming back to this, that first thing, I am not this body, establishing that. What about the mind? Mind is also drishyam. How do you know it is a drishyam? Why not drik? No, why? The reason is, if you observe carefully, you can see in your own mind, so many thoughts are coming. And you can stand separate and watch yourself, that thoughts coming and going. At that point, you can establish that you are not the mind either. Isn't it? Because you know, if you observe your own mind, how different thoughts develop according to the circumstances, where you are. The place, time, place, circumstances, all this has an influence on the thought process, isn't it? When you get up in the morning, you sit quietly and you will see what thoughts comes in at that time. When you go to work and you are working there with many other people, a different kinds of thoughts comes. When you are at home, another set of thoughts come. And when you are in the evening doing something else, some other thoughts come. So, thoughts are coming, thoughts are going, coming and going, coming and going. And you are able to recognize that these thoughts have come to me and these thoughts have left me. Is it not? You can always do that. If you are a little bit sensitive to all these things, but one, so you don't think about like that, in that way. If you identify with the mind completely, then it's very difficult. But in all situations, you can, like when you get anger, you say, oh, I'm getting angry now. Sometimes people say like that, isn't it? You're really annoying me. People say like this, isn't it? So that means you, the person, is, although identifying with the mind, you're able to say this, I'm getting angry. Why you are able to say like that? Because anger is happening in the prakriti, not in you. That's the reason. The anger is not happening in the prakriti, in the svabhavam, it is not happening in you, rather it's happening in the nature. It is happening in the svabhavam. That is why you are able to say that, I'm getting angry. Otherwise you won't be able to say that, you'll just angry blast off straight away. Isn't it? So that's the thing. So therefore, mind is also drishyam. Mind is also drishyam. That also not me. And intelligence is concerned. Intelligence works sometimes. And sometimes you say that I've lost it, you say. Isn't it? It's gone, you say. Many people recognize that at the old age, isn't it? There are many, many big people. Ultimately they have to give up. Intelligence also can't help. Intelligence also can't help. Radhakrishnan was like that. Dr. Radhakrishnan, he wrote his commentary on Bhagavad Gita, famous it is, and very learned, highly intelligent, could speak and answer everything from any shastram in the world. That person also at the time of leaving the body, he couldn't even remember his own name. So that is how much all these things are worth at the end. So that also, a person who could remember so much from the Shastram and who could speak so much in depth, That person, he couldn't remember his own name at that time. To such an extent, intelligence also can fail. And that is how you keep negating everything. Nisheda Siddhi. That is what that verse is saying. Pipalayana Maharshi's verse is saying, Nisheda Siddhi. So, if you keep on rejecting all these things, and all your experiences in your most subtle plane, Sushma Mandalam, extremely subtle plane, whatever experiences you may have in your subtle plane, if you reject all that, something what remains still, which you cannot reject, nor you can take it on board straight away, there is one thing, that is called Jnapti in the Bhagavatam. It's called Jnapti. Jnapti, there's few words. Jnapti, Bodham, awareness, or Astitvam, your reality of existence. That is called Bodham, awareness, what we are talking about. That is how they separate it out from the others. Because all other things are Drishyam. Drik Drishya Vivekam is like that. The Drik is seer, is seeing everything. Drishyam is continuously changing. So, Krishna calls this as Sat. Sat. You can see that 16th verse. Adavandeja madhyam cha srijyam yadanvaya srijya srijyam yadanvaya punastal pratisankrame yachisheda tadeva Sat. Tadeva Sat. That's how you have to understand that. Tadeva Sat. These verses are, they are filled with so much knowledge behind it, each verses, and all requires very lot of thinking and lot of reading and lot of analysis also. Because when Krishna spoke to Uddhava, Ekadasha Skandam, it may have taken a few hours. It's only 1000 verses. Exactly 1036 verses. That is the Krishna Uddhavadesham. Uddhavadesham is 1036 verses. How much time would it have taken to speak? Not much time, isn't it? 1036 verses. Krishna has spoken. So here, point is, Krishna says here that punasat pratisangrami yakshisheda tadeva sat. Punasat pratisangrami yakshisheda tadeva sat. What remains at that time, that is called a sat. Krishna is establishing the truth. In other words, he is always behind it. What is that? When everything is continuously changing, body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, ego is changing, everything in this package is changing, but someone inside who is not changing. That is the important thing. He says here, that doesn't change. And that's what he says here. Bhadya Vishwavi. Eda Deva hi vijnanam natadaigena yenaya stitulpatyan payan pashet bhavanam trigunalmanam. So, here he says that this continuously changing, that change is very, serious change that is happening inside us, isn't it? Imagine this, it's a very important thing. So many changes happening in us all the time. Body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, ego is changing, everything else is changing, still I am thinking I am not changing. Is that not a magic, what's going on inside us? Then I am still fully conscious of my existence, my awareness. And in spite of the fact that all these changes are happening in the body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything, I am still able to hold on to that identity I am, which is not changing. Is that not a very surprising thing, if you think about it? Like that story of the old man who showed his video and was fully confident that it's me. Same way, even though all these changes are happening in the body, mind, intelligence and all that, at no point in time you will think that you have changed. Okay, you may say to people, I have changed a lot. But that is, temporarily you may make that statement based on looking at the body or looking at the mind or looking at the intelligence, you may make a statement like that. But your awareness or your consciousness of your existence, of what is known as the jnapti, that jnapti at no point in time changes. Jnapti remains as it is. Astitvam, I exist. Even when you are born or when you leave the body or in between any time, that awareness never changes. Awareness never changes. You can't make it half awareness, can you? You are always fully aware of everything, of your existence. You can't make it half. Body, you can take away pieces and make it into 50% or 80% or whatever percentage you want. You can take one leg on one arm, you can cut off. So many things you can do with the body. But your awareness, you can't cut like that in the same way. It's always full, 100%. Even when the hand is gone, leg is gone, still you consider yourself complete because you are complete. That is what it is saying, that purnatvam or completeness or perfection is in the soul. And that you can't take it away from the soul. And because it is like that, when you speak or when you talk to somebody or do something, you are fully conscious that you exist 100%. 100% you exist. You can't take it away. Vedantam is very perfect on all these things. You can't, there is no answer to all this from the science. They don't look at it this way. Krishna gives importance to the soul. Start from there everything. Reject other things, come back to the source. That's Krishna's point. So here, he mentions here that Stithulpatipayan Pashel Bhavanam Trigunalmanam. So many things, because Trigunalmanam, Trigunam is working. The three modes of material nature is working there. Because the three modes are working there, then so many things are happening there. Why the body is changing? Because the three modes of material nature, isn't it? Three modes of material nature, body is changing. That is what it is. The three modes of material nature is changing the body. Three modes of material nature is changing our three states. Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. It's coming due to the three modes of material nature. Isn't it? That is behind it. And but when all these things are happening, that awareness or jnapti, it remains firm and steady. It's not changing. Adhishtanam. It's called as adhishtanam. Astitvam, jnapti, bodham, awareness. Whichever way you want to call it, you can call it. These are words used in the Shastram at different places. In the, when we study Muchukunda's prayers, glorification of Krishna, Muchukunda's glorification of Krishna, he will use this word jnapti there. Jnapti matram. And many other places also you will see the word used jnapti. Jnapti means this. That thing which is always complete and perfect, which is never subjected to any change when everything else is changing. When everything else is changing. So that is what, this one important aspect is the principle in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam wants to establish this very firmly inside. This self-realization process, how to move away from the body and move away from the mind, it needs education. It's not going to happen otherwise. Unless one has purified oneself with such a surrender to Krishna, and Krishna purifies that. But in the Jnanamargam, a lot of this is depends on that education of the knowledge of the soul. It's a big subject, and that is why so much literature based on that. Great sannyasis and rishis and Upanishads and acharyas and great devotees and yanis, they have written so much about this soul only for this reason, to make it according to their own realization. They have compiled various literature to present this truth to us. So here, drukha drishyam. Everything in the drishyam is changing, drik is not changing. Drik is always the same. So as long as this is established inside, Krishna is saying here that you are, the knowledge becomes perfect. The knowledge becomes perfect. Only when the drik is there, drishyam is there. This is another important thing. Drishyam is not important. In science, drishyam is important, drik is not important. In Vedantam, drik is important, drishyam is not important. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. Because as far as Vedantam is concerned, if drik is not there, drishyam also doesn't exist. is it not? Only because you are there, all this creation exists, all what we see and we glorify everything, because the person who is witnessing everything, the drik, is present there. So drik drishya vivekam is only to make this one point clear to us. Drik is important, drishyam is not important. Nobody gives any value to drishyam. Drishyam has no value. Drik is important. To take us out of this drishyam. Body is drishyam. Mind is drishyam. Intelligence is drishyam. Ego is drishyam. Only the soul is the drik. Only the soul is the drik. So this principle is called anvayam and vedirekam. Anvaya vedirekam. We talked about this before, but we will again discuss it in the next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.